You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes! Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off. Sidestepped.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Oh, it's only days away, the start of the Super League, and the Championship season is here this weekend. We've got live commentary for you, rest assured. Whatever we're called, we'll still be covering the Rugby League. You can get in touch tonight on Twitter at RLonRY. You can tag along on Facebook as well. If you're watching, listening on there, please do me a favour. Tell everyone that you are here and watching, share it with your friends, etc. It's a busy, busy week. As always, more on about what's going off the field and what's going on it. But we're going to look forward to the kickoff. We're going to get all the opinions of the guys in the studio. Want your opinions as well. I know the Twitter has been very, very busy already. But want to know what's going to happen on the field, not necessarily off it. I'm sure that will be panned out in the near future. Richard Shaw, writer, resident Wakefield fan, is here. Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 magazine, is here. And the legend, the man with 46 Great Britain caps, former Golden Boot winner, Gary Schofield, is here. No pictures of you as in your dressing gown this week, legend, so we presume you've been behaving yourself.
I have indeed, as always. Yeah, this week, when you put out last week saying that, well, if anybody sees Scoy around, just take some photographs of him, so no. Being very conservative this week, as I am now, because, you know, the responsibility. Well, I've got certainly working with you fellas. I know, I've got to behave myself. Which is a little bit disappointing.
Why have you got to behave yourself? What, in here?
Since when?
Well...
No, you crack on, mate. You get ripped in.
Since he mentioned it last week, you know, from a point of view. Oh, don't worry about that. I'll be getting ripped in. That is for sure. But, yeah, all good. All good. I say over at Oldham yesterday, just getting a little bit warm, but they changed the new facilities over there at Oldham. But can I just say as well, you know, at times when I have got ripped into certain teams or maybe certain players, the sulks, but... Scott Naylor, who's the Oldham coach, and, you know, last year came up for a bit of criticism from the Oldham fans, you know, saying that Oldham would get relegated. Unfortunately, they did from there. And, yeah, I met Scott yesterday, and he never took his bat and ball home. Showed plenty of respect. We had a good conversation of how the season's looking to go, certainly from Keighley's point of view and also to Oldham's. But I tell you what, we're talking to Scott, and it's the first time I've had a conversation with him since I met him, and that was yesterday. But he came over very smart.
So a long-standing relationship.
But to be honest with you, fellas, he came over very smart, very intelligent, and I tell you what, his Oldham side, boy oh boy, from a point of view, defensive-wise, the communication was very, very good, but also too, very good with ball in hand. And the enthusiasm what his Oldham players showed and his coaching philosophies, I tell you what, if anybody came to me and said, hey, Scoy, what do you reckon about, you know, any Super League club for a coach or an assistant coach coming through the system, I tell you what, I wouldn't have any issues in recommending Scott Naylor. He's certainly ready to step up. I'm not saying to Chris Hamilton here, I don't want you to lose your coach, Chris. No. But one thing for sure, Scott Naylor, when the time is right for anybody who wants a new assistant or wants a new head coach at a Super League club, I tell you what, I wouldn't have any hesitation in recommending Scott Naylor, because the way his team played yesterday, sheer quality.
Hold on, because we've got a problem with our Facebook feed, apparently. People can see us but not hear us. You can listen on the app, you can listen online. I know the people are on Facebook can't hear this, but Richard's going to message that out. People listening on the app are fine, and you can listen online as well, radioyorkshire.co.uk.
So aren't there some great coaches in League One? Because you've been mentioning Scott Naylor, but you've got obviously John Keir, James Ford, Gary Thornton, Graham Horne. There's some fabulous, talented coaches in League One. Mm. It could be a fascinating division this year.
I don't think it's going to be the walk in the park that everyone thinks it's going to be for the likes of Bradford at all.
No, it's not. And I say you can sling Newcastle in there from a point of view. But also, again, you know, when we're looking at coaches for the English point of view, for when the Super League jobs come up, you know, have a look at these guys, because they want to play the game in the right way. They've got a great attitude towards it. They know themselves from a point of view, defensive wise, fitness wise, and consistently playing week in and week out is the goal for them. But give these lads an opportunity, because I tell you what, You know, as I keep going, you know, Chris Chester, what a great job he's done from there. But Scott Naylor yesterday, from a personal point of view, the respect he showed me by not sulking, by the comments what I made about Oldham last year, and I say it was excellent. And I tell you what, I can't applaud him enough from the way that he has got his team playing a very, very smart, very aggressive in defence, very smart around the ruck area. But I tell you what, when they want to play, they can play, and they destroyed Keith Lee yesterday.
And it's
destroyed
us. Interesting to see how Leon Price goes as well, and his first coaching post
absolutely.
At Workington.
So, absolutely.
Intrigue, I think, in League One this year. And for all the talk that there will inevitably be about politics going on behind the scenes, one of the words coming back is that Super League want to diminish the monetary value of League One. They want to cut the subsidies to it. You look at some of the players that are coming through, but particularly those coaches who are doing their apprenticeships in that league. We've got to be very careful about how we allocate our money and where, if we put it all in one direction and not another.
Interesting. I think we're still working on the... Tom said he'd mended it, but he hadn't mended it, which is rubbish. So we've been asked if the legend could do sign language.
I can think of a sign for the legend.
See, I don't know if you're allowed to do, I think on Facebook we can do whatever we want, but if Ofcom were watching, we'd be in trouble.
We're on. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Scully's just resigned for those going in on Facebook. So sad news for everyone who's just tuned in, albeit a little bit late. But
it's sad for the 7.6 billion people worldwide who were aiming this programme at.
Yeah, well, they've all got access to it.
All the people in North Korea, they love it. Favourite programme is this.
So Scott Naylor didn't hear the homily that Scully just painted.
Scott Naylor, if you're listening, download the podcast, because Scully, in fact, everyone can download the podcast. That'd be very helpful. Do that.
Like, subscribe, everything else.
Yeah, RL on RY on Twitter. We've had a lot of interaction. What are we going to say? We've got to mention the Nigel Wood story that has been reported in the League Express today. That he's received a payoff. We have no confirmation of this. If he has received the payoff, then you always say, well, fair play to him for arranging a payoff. You know, you can't blame the guy that's got the money.
Absolutely.
I would ask the questions if he has got the money, why he's got the money, but that's a different story.
Well, it's quite simple. Good luck to him. And I'll tell you what, we'd all like to be in his shoes, wouldn't we? Simple as that.
Yeah. Your payoff more like half a quid scoring than half a million, allegedly.
The issue is twofold.
I think, to be honest with you, it's is it? Betfred.
You just got that.
Well, we've given you a free app, that'll do. You owe us 50p.
I'll tell you what, is that the advert there, Odd Balls? Is that me and
that's
Phil
you.
Kaplan?
That's you.
Is that us?
That's why I've given it to you.
Me and Phil Kaplan. But no. All I can say is good luck to him, and I say we'd all like to be in his shoes, wouldn't we? Simple as that.
The issue will become. Did he resign or was he asked to leave? And if his contract has been severed, then he's entitled to compensation. If his contract is of a certain amount, that compensation adds up to £500,000, that's not really his fault. If a player is poached and leaves before his contract ends, there is a compensation for that contract. But who has sanctioned the payment? I think we're all of an agreement that the game is not awash with money at the moment.
Has the rugby league, right, on
the
quiet... The
game is not awash with money.
Have they won the Euro million?
Giving
£500,000
quite
to
the
league.
Reverse.
We've given, reportedly, £500,000 to Nigel.
I would
the
also...
Bradford Bulls legal case has disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Well,
Scully, you want to be knocking on,
money.
On some doors.
Roger Draper, again, who didn't see out the full term of his contract, would be entitled to some form of... payoff.
And and as you say, your players don't just walk away without another big juicy contract to go into, do they?
No.
Why would you can't blame these guys
you
if they have
you can't blame
been
the recipient,
leave.
You can blame the people that sanctioned the payment, which I would imagine if there has been one, and we should use the word if, because it hasn't been verified or commented on by the governing body to say that they definitely have made a payment, then...
They also haven't come out and denied it, though, have
no,
they?
No.
In the interest of balance.
I am assuming... that the non-executive directors have made this payment. Those are the same non-executive directors who will be making the next appointment. You would hope that all of these potential minefields are dealt with in advance rather than reactively.
Can the game afford this sort of payment? Can we afford this sort of payment?
Absolutely not.
Let us know your thoughts. Look, I mean,
I can sum them up for you already. It's a disgrace. That's all the tweets we've had over the last 24 hours.
But we don't know what it
hours.
Is,
exactly.
do we?
We don't... as we said at the time when...
Yeah, but hold on a second, because if you are going to look back on a timeline, Nigel's quotes were, the time is right to go now.
Yes.
Or is that the time is right to go now because I'm not going to get a bigger payoff? Or is that the time is right to go now because, oh, actually, I've got another job, I'm going to go there. So he's actually left and got another job, so why are we paying him off?
Or possibly even giving himself another job.
Well, who are we to say? But the point is... I want to use the phrase, he can't have his cake and eat it, but, you know, I mean, it looks like he's made the cake, baked the cake...
bought the ingredients.
Iced the cake, eaten the cake, and told us how good it is.
I wouldn't mind some of it said, would you?
It's at the moment, it's yet to be verified one way or the other, but the facts are, if this is right, this is going to leave a nasty taste.
All know from questions that were asked last week of various people within the RFL that the amount of money that's been spent on promoting the start of the season has not been great because the money just isn't there at the moment. And if it's being diverted into areas other than playing or promoting the sport, then it's the wrong use of the resource that we've got.
Fair dues. Right, what's happening?
Shall I just sum up by using words and phrases used by listeners rather than full sentences? Shambolic, unjustified, disgrace, stinks. I'm trying to pick out the words we can use.
What are we on about now, Scotty or Nigel? Sorry, you lost me there.
Sam said, no wonder the Super League clubs want to have more of a say. Time for a full break away from the RFL. They are the ones bleeding the sport.
Well, again, we, you know.
Exactly. Symptomatic of the culture, says Gareth. Brian says, why not focus on players for a change? We've got 2 hours, we will talk about the players, don't panic.
And it is an open house now. Any club, any team in Super League, League One, Championship, the comp, wherever. You set the agenda, we're sitting here and talk about what people want us to talk about. So if you want to talk about Salford or Barrow or whatever else you want to talk about, tell us.
I should say, when people say there's no money for a reserve league, that is not the fault of whoever is in charge of the Rugby Football League. It's in charge of the clubs who want pay for reserve teams.
Yeah, it's not the RFL. That's the clubs don't want the reserve grade, do they? You know, so the RFL can't be blamed for that.
Well, we can blame them for that.
Are you sure?
Well, the RFL can say, right, it's compulsory to have
they can't, can they, if they don't set the...
Well, this is what I'm saying. You know, at the end of the day, let's say I came to the game in 1983 and I learned pretty quickly... The RFL, they're a governing body, but they don't govern. It's the clubs who run the game, and it always has been.
Who governs Rugby League?
Fair enough.
Wigan. That's used to be.
That's Richard Van from Wigan and Wakefield.
We have the first game of the season, and that's a sixth of the teams he can't get.
It's all right. I don't like most of the teams. It's okay. Lots of comments on that, and other things as well. Derek's listening from Afghanistan again. Hello to
hello.
Derek.
Hope you're well.
I'll tell you what, we're going through with a rugby question because Betty's asked one, because you want to talk about players. Hi, boys. Do any of those in the studio think Liam Sutcliffe is suited at centre, and what do they think might be his best position? Now everyone's going to complain we're talking about Leeds again.
Well, that's the question, Betty.
Ask some questions.
Scully, you weren't bad at centre. Do you want to give us your thoughts on Liam Sutcliffe?
Yeah, he's found a position now at centre. They've tried him at fullback, they've tried him at standoff, and they've tried him at loose forward. I reckon when I saw him at fullback, no, too slow. Standoff, too slow from a point of view. His thinking process is not quick enough. He hasn't got the organisation skills. Loose forward, a possibility. But the way he's going at centre, he's got that size. May need another yard of pace from there. But overall now, he's a centre.
Okay.
I think the try that he scored in the semi-final against Hull at centre was superb. I think that showed that he's mastered the art of centre play. Not fully, obviously, because he's still young.
But
I think positionally, I thought that try that he scored in the semi-final was sensational.
That's the most important part he's played for the club so far.
Yeah, but I also think that he will end up as a loose forward. I think that Leeds have got some back rowers who are coming to the end of illustrious careers. They won't be going in the immediate future, but obviously there will be, I think, a spot for him in the next 3 or 4 years, perhaps as a loose forward. But at the moment, he looks comfortable. I think the one thing that's undermined his progress, apart from, we shouldn't forget, he had a really serious knee injury at a time when it looked like he was going to take the Rugby League world by storm, is the fact, because he's played in so many different positions, he never really looked comfortable. But now he's got the number 4 shirt. Now that he knows that he's the first choice centre, he's got a bit of competition for his place from Jimmy Kinehorst to keep him on his toes. I think he will have a good season at centre this year.
Mm. He has found his position.
Yeah,
centre.
I like him, Sutcliffe. I think he's done well. He's had to be patient, hasn't he? He's had to bide his time, but clearly Brian McDermott's got faith in him, and who are we to argue with that? Right, Rich.
Elsewhere, well, just on a lead thing, because Matt's asked it, Walker or Goulding at fullback?
Both.
Yeah.
Walker for me.
Okay. I think you've, in this day and age, you've got to have both.
Well, you've got to have both in the squad, but Walker, he starts it with him. If he keeps playing like he can play week in and week out, Goldie can't get in.
But the great thing is that he has to play that week in, week out, and that can only be good for both of them, actually. And as long as Goulding isn't sitting on the sidelines for 6 or 7 weeks and not playing and then thrown into the action and being expected to be at his best, which raises the whole question of dual reg and reserve grade and all that kind of thing, I think Walker will be targeted at the start of the season, because he just absolutely came from nowhere at the end of last season. He still has growing to do, and I think that coaches will be aware of what he can do, so physically it'll be a lot harder for him at the start of this second year. But I think to have Ashton Goulding breathing down your neck is a fantastic for Leeds.
What do you think, Rich?
I think you have to go with Goulding at the start of the season, don't you? He's the man wearing the number one shirt, but obviously he's under a lot of pressure from a young player who made a big impact last year, grand final winner. He's in the list of the 30 players to watch, or whatever it was, in the League Express the other week, so I'll be keeping an eye on him, because I know he's a player to watch now. I have, yeah. He won the grand final and everything. I saw him on the telly. He's only young. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a fascinating season, because we've got a bit of a, I don't know, perhaps a state of flux. Leeds are in transition again, but as we always say, we'll go on and win. Warrington have to improve on last year. Wigan appear to be, I don't want to say regressing, because I'm going to upset Wigan people twice in the programme, but they don't appear to be going forward.
Have we written them off, though? Because we've all got them all outside the top four. They had awful injuries last year.
And the bookies haven't. The bookies have
listen,
got
we're not, listen, we're not writing Wigan off, because, they've got the... When you look at that team, when you look at that squad, right, they've got plenty of quality. But these are a couple of questions. And the questions is, for mine, they don't bully teams like they used to do. The forwards
physically intimidating.
The forwards don't have that purpose. No, they're not intimidating anymore. And again, the big question is the style of player what they're going to do, because they've been found out. So they've got to change the style of play. And then third as well, the third big one is, how is Sam Tompkins going to play? If he's going to play at number seven, George Williams are going to be the halfback, how is that combination going to work? So yeah, there's three big questions for Wigan this year. Nobody's saying they're not a quality side, because they are a quality team. But how are they going to change their way that they can intimidate sides and also, too, score more points in opposition? Because the way they attack, they can't do that.
One thing that is interesting about not having a reserve grade, and this is not whether it's right or wrong, it's that we've talked about, will there be rotation of players? So you look at Wigan and they're saying, well, Sam Powell's got the number seven shirt, but is he going to play a lot of number seven? Sam Tompkins might start at fullback, but he's going to go into the halves. Morgan Escaro probably come on. You've got Warrington. How do you fit Declan Patton into what is likely to be a Tyrone Roberts, Kevin Brown halfback combination? You've got the same at St Helens. How do you fit Danny Richardson in when you're probably going to go with Matty Smith to start with? Maybe Ben Barbara will operate solely at fullback, but he could come into the halves as well. Where's Johnny Lomax going to play? Are Goulding and Smith, Walker going to play? Well, there's a case for saying that in some of the pre-season games, Ashton Goulding has come on and taken up an auxiliary hooking role. So are we looking at now teams that we get too fixated with the positions that players are going to play in? And it is going to be this constant state of rolling guys around during games.
Well, do you know what, Phil? You can't keep rolling your side around, because George Williams needs to know what sort of service he's going to get from Sam Powell. He's going to need to know what sort of combination, the communication point of view with Sam Tong. You can't keep rotating, because you're not going to get the right balance. You're not going to get
that he's trying to keep everyone happy, rather than saying, well, actually, lads, so-and-so, you're not playing this week.
Or
you're
not just going to be the 17-man game?
Is that what he's doing?
Well, at the end of the day, if you're picking your team, the 17 who start the first game of this week, and they all play well, well, you keep them there, don't you? It's not a rotation sport. No way, mate. No way. You've got to get the right combination. You've got to get the understanding between the players themselves, because if not, you just cause confusion.
But you've got a long season over 30 weeks. You're going to have some injuries. You're going to have some people that fall out
but
of
what
form.
If you don't get injuries? And what if you don't get people losing form? You've got to stick with the same 17.
But if you haven't got a reserve grade, you cannot run the risk of bringing somebody in who hasn't played for 7 or 8 weeks and expecting them to perform at that level. So do you keep rolling people around to give them enough game time so that when you do really need them, They're up to speed.
Well, Wolfie for sure. If I was playing to my best of ability, and the coach said to me after six games, "Right, Scully, I'm resting you," you just blow up.
Did you ever? I mean, in the older days, because you're not that old. You used to have a fixture list whereby you could pick and choose some games that you knew were going to be more intense than others. With the great respect to some of the teams that are at the lower end of the first division, you knew that the likelihood is if you play to anywhere like your capability, you would win those games. Did a coach ever come to you and say, look, you've played quite a lot of rugby in the last couple of weeks. We're only playing, let's say, Carlisle, because we can't offend them because they're not there anymore.
Don't worry, we offend anyone.
I'm going to stand you down and give you a rest.
No, Phil, it didn't. Because also as well, secondly, in them days when we started out, there were no contract system. So it was a matter of winning pay, losing pay. So if you didn't play, you were losing out on losing pay. So the coach didn't say to you, because we're playing the easy side this week, I'm leaving you out because you are losing out on your winning pay, on your winning bonus.
What was the difference for you between winning, losing and not playing?
When we first started out, Hull, our winning pay payment was under 50 quid, less tax and insurance, and losing pay were 30 quid. And if you're playing in the A team, or £15 a win and £10 a loss.
Did you get a regular weekly payment on top of that?
No.
So if you didn't play, you got paid. £15 if you won in the A team.
Yeah, you didn't get paid. Wow. It wasn't the contract system, Mark.
No. It's amazing, isn't it? We might have to introduce that on this show. We don't think he's done very well. We're not getting paid. We'll have a poll at the end.
Obviously, when you sign for your amateur days, you know, you had a contract, you know. Like when I signed for Hull, my payment was £5,000 to sign for Hull, and then the contract was worth £22,000. That included, you know, your A team, your first team, your under 24s, your Great Britain. That's how the contract built up. But once that contract was finished, until the contract system came in, what, 92, 93 or something, Phil? No, it was all winning pay and losing pay. And if you didn't play, you didn't get any money.
And a Cortina.
Ford Escort, we're going in there from Hull. Ford Escorts.
So your contract was worth £22,000 in 1983.
Yeah.
There'll be young players in Super League who won't be getting that, will they, this year?
No.
I didn't get that. I didn't get £22,000 in my pocket. I had to earn the right to play A team. Well, so I didn't get my 1,500 quid.
Oh, no, I know.
I only played one A team game. So I didn't get that £1,500. Yeah, obviously I played first team there, my Great Britain. Yeah, so but I had to earn to get that contract.
I'm not saying that, but there are players today in Super League who won't be getting paid that money.
And let's hope that the new players' union, which will have some power if everybody signs up to it.
Let me turn that around. There's a load of rubbish in Super League who are getting £80,000-£90,000 and they don't deserve that.
But let's hope that the first thing the players' union do is get a minimum wage for players in Super League.
So then, for a minimum wage for the average rugby league player, then what would you say the minimum salary should be then for the average player?
Well, it's not so much whether they're average or not. It's the fact that we have got some young kids playing in Super League.
I think it's the starting point.
I think they should be earning a minimum of £20,000 for playing in Super League.
I would have said 25 grand, to be honest with you.
And I think that it's not about what you can get at the, you know, whatever your agent can negotiate for you. If you're a player who's played 200 games at Super League level, that's fine. But I think you come in at that environment to do the kind of. So we're talking about Jack Walker, who's played, what, 10, 12 games? He should be on a contract that is at the very least, when he plays game number one,
£20,000,
and not go through all this. Well, I'm not sure who I want to sign for because, you know, one team's offering me £5,000 and another team might be offering £15,000.
Paul says, I hope Scully's getting dock pay. I couldn't hear him for the first 10 minutes tonight. There you go. We'll arrange it, Paul. Don't worry about that.
It's not my fault.
Tribal.
A lot of people, and I know, I think it was Dean actually emailed us in over the weekend about Zach Hardacre.
Yeah, Carly's one of those. Apparently, he's in the League Weekly today. Just wrong to me. If he goes away, going to be a huge contract, he'll be rewarded for taking drugs. Ban them properly. They know it's illegal. There's no excuse for it for me.
It was actually Dean Ford that emailed in. Yes, messaged in again.
The problem is,
he's been linked with a move to Wigan, basically.
But when? Because he can't play until he's served his ban.
Well, hold on. No, well, he hasn't. I've asked. I've made inquiries, and my information, rightly or wrongly, is he hasn't yet been banned.
What are they waiting for? No, it's cock in. What are they waiting for?
It has to go through a process with WADA. It's not a rugby league thing. It's the people that have found his sample to have been tainted.
Yeah, so right. So
they go through a process. I mean, Randy Chase was officially banned about 6 months after his sample had tested positive, and the ban is then retrospective to when he gave that sample.
Well, why does it take so long? This happened in October. Why does it take so long?
Because it does. I mean, it does in every sport. It's a government body that covers a whole... it's not a government body. It's a public body that covers a whole different range of sports, and your case will take a certain amount. What we know is it doesn't seem to be as though Zach is going to be countering it in any way. He's not denied that it's happened. The club haven't denied that it's happened. So
been very, very quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it is with every case. If he accepts the fact that his sample has been tainted, he will be banned. And the current tariff for taking cocaine, believed to be within a performance-enhancing status because it's so close to the start of a game, is a two-year ban.
Minimum of 2 years.
So all of the moving to Wigan would have to be post any ban.
The problem with guys...
We don't know, obviously, and that's just the information that I've been given. I've asked to speak to Zach in a professional capacity, but that has been declined at this point.
The problem with Caroline's comments, not with Caroline's view at all, is that a player who is any good will have a number of chances. We've seen players who may have been sat recently who've been given chance after chance after chance, despite what they've done on and off the field. But if a player's no good, they're straight on the scrap heap. So, unfortunately, that's just the way things work.
Yeah, that's
a shame. You know, should we, as a sport, say, right, that's it, zero tolerance? That's up to you to decide. You know, it's what you want to know. Scott, you'd probably ban them all, and that's fair enough. If you agree with that, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
If that was the rules, but they aren't the rules at the minute.
I've said with me, we're drug takers. You get caught, ban for life. Simple as that.
Are you wearing a London Broncos shirt?
Yeah, just to...
Is it just to wind him up?
No, to please our London listeners.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. It's an interesting
Michael Challenge shirt.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because rugby league is a wider member, if you like, whereas football isn't.
No.
So, and where's the consistency in that?
And footballers get...
But I think we should be. I think that should be one of our great qualities, that we are prepared to... England were inconvenienced by Zach's misbehaviour, for want of a better word.
If guilty.
But we didn't do what perhaps England cricket have done with Ben Stokes and say, oh, we'll take him to the World Cup, which hasn't been banned yet.
Because to be fair, they stood him down, didn't they, England? They stood him down initially.
Which I think is to our credit as a sport.
If cocaine is a problem in rugby league and it's a problem in society, it's certainly a problem in football, and you never see footballers banned for taking cocaine. Simple as that. Frank's question is on Hull. Derek and Ian have come on with similar points. Nick Rawls-Thorne to Toronto, would have liked to see him develop at Hull or go and learn, thinking maybe a missed opportunity for FC, says Derek. Ian says, disappointed to see him leave for FC. It's for the likes of Curtis Norton and Callum Lancaster, and Mike Adlard and Connor Bauer, all young outside backs out of the club, while we've wasted money on bringing an NRL flop prop back. It's easy to say. When we already had six prop forwards anyway. What do the panel think?
Right, what do you think, Scully? Former club?
Well, again, it's English talent, you know, being sacrificed, isn't it? You know,
Lee Radford was talking him up, wasn't he? Mm. Big time when they signed him, about what a talent he was, and yet, what, 12 months later, he's on his way out?
Yeah, and I say, it's the English time for these, you know, journeyman overseas players, to be honest with you, and the sooner we realise that, from a point of view, give our opportunity to the talent what we've got, and they'll repay you. They will. They'll repay you.
What we don't know is how good Nick Rawls-Thorne could have been, because he's come to the sport relatively late from a rugby union background, and again, without a reserve grade, how do we know how good he's going to be? But Toronto obviously have a space for him. He's going to play regularly there, apparently. Hopefully he'll take his chance and prove everybody who prematurely perhaps thought that he might not make it at Super League level wrong.
All right. Good. Well, good luck to him. He's got to Toronto, isn't he? So
absolutely.
Hopefully, he should get a few chances. We'll see.
We'll see him on the telly.
We will.
Well, on, if you've got Premier, I haven't got Premier. Elsewhere, Robert's asking, will the World Cup affect players? Will it bring the standard of Super League down?
I'm not so sure it will.
The World Cup won't bring the standard down for the players themselves as individuals and their teams who are involved as well. No. I know Phil will go on now where they play too many games and there'll be a World Cup hangover, there'll be a World Cup headache, but for me personally, I don't. And you look at St Helens from a point of view, James Robey, well, he's got his mojo back, hasn't he? And dare I say, he's been given the captaincy, he's got the smile back on his face. Alex Walmsley, well, he's buzzing, he's put himself in the shop window. Everybody wants to sign Alex Walmsley. And to say, you look at McCarthy Scarsbrook and Kyler Moore, the way they play for Ireland, they absolutely ripped in. They can't wait for the new season to start. And who's your one fellow who played for Wales? Who's the other St Helens player who played it?
Well, he's Regan Grace and Morgan Knowles.
Regan Grace and Morgan Knowles.
Brilliant.
How good were they, you know? So they're looking to get ripped in. So I don't think there'll be any World Cup hangover from any of the players. Wolfie, for sure. There won't be a World Cup hangover for Stephen Ratchford, Mike Matt Meakin, Mark Percival, Scott Taylor, and certainly George Williams. They'll be looking to get ripped in this season, and I say, put themselves back on the in the shop window, certainly for the England side. But also too, they've got to do it for the clubs, and I reckon they'll be looking forward to getting ripped in.
But they were training virtually every day up until the 1st of December. But I think the World Cup will have a positive effect at the start of the season because all of the players that played in it will actually be more advanced in terms of their fitness. So I'm looking forward to seeing to some of the players that you've just mentioned, obviously Liam Finn as well and Scott Grich, you can throw them in, who were brilliant for Ireland. I think they will start the season in better form than most of their colleagues because they're actually their conditioning is better. The issue for me, and you mentioned it, it is such a long, hard season, so many games over such a long period of time, it's whether they get burnout from the middle of the season on. And that's where I think you do have to have all of these players rotating in the squad because you may need to stand down a couple of those players for 2 or 3 weeks over the course of June or July when their bodies are physically breaking up to give them the necessary time to be at their absolute peak come September and October.
You played all year round, legend. Did you ever say, oh, come on, Wardy.
But he didn't train
come
every
on,
day,
Wardy,
did you?
I could do with a week off
never,
here.
No.
Why,
no,
too tight?
Never.
Didn't want to lose out on your win money? Or
no, I just love playing. And players love playing. You know, you ask any players. You know, when you speak to Danny Maguire, not just Danny Maguire, but every sports, it doesn't matter if you're rugby league, football or cricket, everyone will tell you, I would rather play than train. Mm-hmm. And if you ask the players to play twice a week, let's just say on a Sunday, or they play on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, and they didn't have to train, they would say, I'll have it every day of the week. Have it every day of the week.
It has changed with a full-time sport. And you didn't train every day. And no. You didn't train in collision every day, so it has changed. By the way,
your tales of Eddie Rombo and etc. were well received.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. You've got a big fan base. Tales of yesteryear with Gary Scope.
Love it for sure as well. I tell you what, Phil, it was hard work that Monday club.
Exactly.
That Monday club was hard work, and I say when you're in the old Smith's Arms or the Town Hall Tavern or the Garden Gate or Stoggies, as you all, I tell
the
you
Richmond.
What. And that was a little bit later on the Sunday nights, but let's not go to that one. But yeah, certainly on the Monday club when you're looking, and I say when you've got Crooks in there and John's joined, it was great. But I tell you what, at times it was hard work trying to get through 14 and 16 pints. Okay. That's not easy.
Every week. That's
not easy.
Stamina.
You know, and so, you know, when you start at 1 o'clock on a Monday afternoon and finish it at about 10 o'clock, but the great philosophy was, it was simple. Our philosophy in them days, I'm going back now and again, telling the great stories, but the more we drank, the harder we trained on a Tuesday to get some more back
in. No, the more you drank, the harder training was on
Tuesday.
Honestly, the
harder we drank, the harder we trained to sweat it out to put some more back in. And on a Tuesday night, you know, we might have, again, 6 pints, 8 pints after the Wednesday be day off Thursday.
Hold on. I've seen you drink. You couldn't drink 8 pints in a second. It'd take you 3 weeks.
Oh, do me a favour. Do me a favour. Mark Wilson, my grandson's 5 on Sunday.
He better not be drinking.
No, but he could drink more than what you could drink. That is for sure.
How do you know? Anyway, I'm surprised that your family are talking to you.
The more we drank, the harder we trained to get some more back in. I'm just reading a great story because he's pretty poorly down in Australia, isn't he? Johnny Raper, the great Chuck Raper, and unfortunately. Johnny's not too well. He's suffering, unfortunately, with dementia. But Malcolm Andrews is telling the tale about Chuck. You know, the more he drank, the next day at training, up the hills, on the sand dunes or whatever, to get it out of him, to get some more back in the system. It was a great philosophy. And I tell you what, we didn't do too well on the Sunday afternoon. Great philosophy. Woofy for sure. Eddie Rombo, John Gallagher should be in the Monday Club. There might be better rugby league players.
Well, there's been a call that if we do get rid of you, then we should get John Gallagher in. That's an observation on social media.
That's a bit harsh.
We need to send Tom Maguire out around the streets of Leeds with Sky going round all these old pubs that may or may not be there anymore.
Yeah, they're all motorway intersections.
Your stock isn't there anymore. The Smith's Arms isn't there anymore. Yeah, the Town Hall Tavern, but it's not the same carriage anymore. What was the other one? The Garland Gate. The Garland Gate's still there, but nobody goes in there, that's for sure. But yeah, great landlords. Brian Stockdale, Stoggies, John Young at all the old Waterloo as well. Owen at the Smiths. I tell you what,
I feel like we should have some music playing under this.
I tell you what, in the Smiths Arms, they did the best big Yorkshire puddings and gravy ever. I tell you what.
Not only did you drink, you ate like an athlete.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Honestly, but after 8 pints, you're like that. Oh, yeah. That homemade gravy and Yorkshire pudding, 6 o'clock. Get your Yorkshires into you, get another 8 pints of tellies.
And
what great
times. The jukebox was good as well.
Jukebox was brilliant. Great times. Great. Oh, but we had to be home by 10 o'clock.
What, who said?
10 o'clock Tuesday.
Who said we're not talking enough about rugby on this program? That's what people wanted these days.
Yeah.
Stuff. Elsewhere, I'll ask you about Eric Cantona later, but elsewhere, on the social media, we want your predictions for the season, because that's always fun. Stephen says this is the most Yorkshire thing he's ever seen or heard.
Come on.
As Betty points out, you know, as Scoey is a true Yorkshireman, is he happy with his employers changing their name from Radio Yorkshire to Proper Sport? Or is he not bothered as long as he gets paid and continue getting freebies? Well, Betty, you didn't even need to ask that question.
Yeah, that is a stupid question.
He's got a hat here.
Yeah.
He's got his hat. He's not wearing it yet.
Thanks.
Gary, free hat.
Gary, Oak for Note Schofield.
As long as the
funds keep rolling in,
League Media Launch, or the Rugby League Media Launch on Thursday. It was a very good event. You'll see videos from it on Proper Sport and Radio Yorkshire for the next few days. The last tackle, looking ahead to the season, speaking to all 12 Super League clubs, I'm sure a pretty high percentage of those there were just there for the free goodie bags.
Possibly. I could
Is that I didn't mention any names. Is that libelous? Is that okay?
No, I think you're all right. I don't think anybody would dispute that either.
Hold on, just a quick one. I've just got a message from the old mucker, Craig Poskett. He just said, Scully, don't forget the Monday Club and the also jockey on a Monday. I tell you what. The biggest character in there was Keith England. Gee, a bit beefy. Boy, oh boy. His favourite saying to everybody was, get us a pint. I tell you what, he was the best call ever, because everybody always bought him a pint. Yeah, yeah. They also jockey on Monday as well. Brilliant.
Awesome. So if you're not aware, we are changing our name. We relaunch on Thursday as Proper Sport. Pretty much it's the same, but with added names, and we'll still be here anyway. And we start this Thursday with live rugby league, Leeds at Warrington. Friday we're doing Hull KR versus Wakefield. Propersport.uk is our new website. But if you listen on social media via the app or the TuneIn app or the Radio Yorkshire app, we'll still be there as well. And we get relaunch from 7 o'clock on Thursday. It'll be the same thing, just with a different name. So it's all right. Yeah. You don't need to panic.
No panic. Lots of people getting in touch.
Yeah, busy. Peter's talking about Salford, who we'll move on to them for a moment. Manu Vatavai, a long-term injury. A disastrous start for Salford, even before the season has started. Of course, stories of bids from Hull Kingston Rovers for Robert Louis that came out on the day of the Super League launch, which is always fun because you can then ask the coach and they go, nah, he's staying here. What are you talking about? Don't believe everything you read in the papers and saying it's Hull KR's fault. So not the best of start of the season for Salford, who'd already been handicapped anyway.
Why is it such a big issue that Hull KR have made an offer for one of their players? I don't see the problem in that. If Salford are saying, fine, you've made an offer, we reject it. Thank you, but no thank you. He's not for sale.
It just shows you how good a player he is.
That's the end of the issue. Yeah. Why are Salford mourning that this has got out into the public domain? I don't see why this is an issue.
It seemed as though some negotiation was taking place at some level. I'm not sure even Ian Watson was involved in that discussion either. I think it was a case of the fact that we've already seen Ben Murdoch-Masilla be sold for £170,000. That it helps Salford retain what they've got left of their squad. If they were to be given, let's say, a similar amount of money for someone who was under contract, who'd pay compensation for somebody that was under contract, for goodness sake?
Well.
And that, you know, Robert Louis is the answer to Hull KR's questions because it means him joining up again with Tim Sheens, who have worked together, got a lot of respect for each other, that it may have been at a board level of interest to Salford and their financial state at the moment to take money and to have their highest earner, we are led to believe, off of their wage books. Now, it would have helped them on the field, but off the field, that might have been something that they were at least going to consider. And it became public, and they immediately got very defensive. Said, no, it's not allowed.
When did Louis sign a new deal? Because as I understand it, he was... Well,
back
his
in the
name
last year.
Was being linked with other clubs. Now, I'm not sure whether that was his agent linking him with other clubs. It probably was, given that it was going to be out of contract. But, Sky, I mean, there's obviously something in this, the fact that Salford are not happy that it's got out, but it bids for players all the time, aren't they? I would imagine this chairman told by coaches, ask about him.
Without a doubt. And also, as well, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter which sport you're playing, everybody's got a price. And if the right price did come in, you know, for the Salford player from there, and the new directors or the supporters, just what they call it from there. And I'm sure that if the price was right, it'd be an OKR player. There's no
He'd
doubt
be
about
a good
it.
Signing, wouldn't he, Louis?
It would be a quality signing. We know Danny Addy's out for the season from there now. Maguire's going to need help at the halfback from there. So yeah, it'd be a great signing. I don't think we've heard the end of this one.
The worry is Rob Louis now unsettled? I mean, publicly he'll say that he's fine, and his agent will be saying everything's fine. But if he knows there's a club out there that is prepared to pay for him, is it a matter of time before he leaves?
Yeah, well, legend, you were tapped up, weren't you, by Wigan? But did it unsettle you or what?
No, it didn't unsettle me, even though it...
You will have happened to some of your teammates, does it? I mean, what's it like? You're the player here, you're the man that's been there.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, Wigan, you know, approached me to go there on a three-year deal, but quite simply, I won't leave in Leeds. I just said, no, I'm not interested in coming. So it was the end of the conversation, to be honest with you, from there. And, yeah, Bradford came in for me at the time when I was at Leeds. Sid Talens as well, they came in for me at Leeds from there, but, you know, I was...
Bradford came in for you?
Yeah.
How much did they offer you?
Well, they didn't, because Leeds were wanting Cal Fairbank.
So they wanted rid of you then, is that what you're saying?
No, listen, I'm just telling you what the true story is.
No, well, I'm just putting the truth in.
Leeds wanted Cal Fairbank, and Bradford said, OK, if you want our best player, then we want Scoey. And Leeds said, well, no, it's not happening. So whatever, the transfer fee for Cal Fairbank, I guess, was far too high, so it never happened. I want to go to Bradford, to be honest with you. Castleford came in, John Joyner, if I'm honest with you, as we know, that so-and-so at Leeds at the time, as we know in Doug Lawton. Castleford, they could afford the transfer fee, because I would have loved to play for John Joyner, to be honest with you. Yeah, but Castleford couldn't afford the contract what was being paid at the time at Leeds. They could afford the transfer fee, so if that would have happened, I would have become a Cas player. I would have loved to play for John Joyner.
If you had somebody in the dressing room that you knew was at some point perhaps moving on, does it change your relationship with them?
Not really. No.
So the Salford fans shouldn't be worried that even if Louis is being linked with other clubs, that it won't affect his commitment or his teammates.
Well, we'll be sure. Yeah, the fans will be upset, and as we all know, fans, you know, they always, you know, say, well, you know, you're greedy and you're going on, and this. So we all know what fans' reaction is, Phil, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, everybody's got the price, and the right price comes in, and as I say, with the new owners there at Salford now, I would imagine Louis could be an Ulster Rovers player.
Interesting. Richard.
Well, Brian said, shouldn't Hull KR be fined for approaching Louis like Wakefield did when they said they'd take Jason Robinson? Well, obviously, Hull KR have gone through the right channels, and B, Wakefield were thick in 2000.
Are Wakefield still the only club ever to be charged with tapping up players?
By going
players
to the papers.
They're never going to sign.
By going to the papers and saying, we might sign Jason Robinson, John Olomu, and the Johns brothers, and we ended up with Steve McNamara. But, you know what?
Whoa, friend of the stage.
Hey, Steve, yeah. He wasn't great in a Wakefield shirt, it has to be said. No, but then he probably wasn't getting paid at the time, so I don't blame him.
Yeah.
You change your opinion when you're older and more wiser about these things. The place used to boom.
Rich as well, and I say that so-and-so, Doug Lawton, when Dave Thomas was coach at Wakefield, he offered me to Wakefield.
Oh, dear.
Wakefield.
We certainly would have been able to afford you.
They didn't get everything wrong then, did they?
Well, what was the offer? What were if you're going to offer in return?
No, no, Doug Law.
The
just
whole squad.
No, Doug Law just wanted to shut me. He offered me to everybody, to be honest with you.
Tell you on
and
load,
then I say, obviously, my
relationship. I know how he feels, Doug. I've tried it. But
my relationship with, you know, with the great late.
Yeah,
my relationship
right, yeah.
with the great late David Toppas. And yeah. Do you know what? If he'd have been honest with me from day one, I would have left. It would, as I said to you before, it would have broken my heart. If he'd have been honest with me, and I say, I'll try getting in the sack after 14 days. I saw Alf Davies, I tell you what, it was a great funeral as well for John Atkinson. We give him a great day for John Atkinson, and I say, very respectful, and we give him a great set off for the boys. But because Alf Davies went, I said to Alf Davies, I said, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me after 14 days when I said to you, sack him because there was no good for it. But if he'd have been honest with me in the first week, Lawton, then unfortunately, yeah, I would have left Leeds. I would. Mm. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
We'll get someone to mock up Scully in various early 90s Castleford and Wakefield tops to impress him.
Yeah.
Wakefield tried to sign Jonathan Davies at one point, so they must have had some money around.
Move on.
Probably just offered him a conservatory.
that was later on. We don't talk about that either. I see the Wakefield Stadium situation has taken yet another twist this
week. Yeah, what
in,
do we...
In a story written between Agatha Christie and Alfred Hitchcock, there's nothing to make of it because it's just the same old rubbish. Not the word I was going to use and then stop myself. So just, as I said before, there's nothing I can do about it, nothing we can do about it, just...
Go on, let's get some more reaction then from
lots of people asking us, what's the stretch going to be next year? Things that we don't know.
It's a very good question.
Yeah, we don't know.
We asked that.
There's answers on a postcard. Best one will be selected at random.
The Rugby Football League.
I tell you what, though, when it does come out, whatever the structure's going to be, there's going to be uproar, isn't there? There's going to be absolute uproar when it comes out, isn't it? But why are they waiting? What are we waiting for?
Because they haven't got agreement. That even amongst the Super League chairman, if they're taking more self-determination of their own competition, they can't decide if they want 12 or 14 teams.
But what about their opinion
may change 5 weeks into the season.
Correct, yeah. So what about, you know, the chairman of the Championship clubs as well? Because we've got to give the clubs the respect what they fully deserve because, as we say, certainly the top five sides, they're looking, you know, they've still got that ambition, they still want to, you know, to be a Super League club. Are their thoughts coming into it all, Phil, do you think?
The water's even murkier because the Super League clubs have given Lee £500,000. Mm. So you would think that they see Lee as a Super League club. Mm. And Toronto, who perhaps we had on our radar as making an unavowed attempt to get into Super League, we were told last Tuesday at a briefing, it's by no means certain that even if they prove themselves on the field, that they would get promotion. Well, that is tantamount to franchising.
Mm. Let's just say Featherstone finished top, or let's just say maybe Halifax finished top. Are they going to be denied that opportunity, do we think?
Well, we were told that promotion relegation was back, that there was jeopardy, which is what everybody wants and needs to keep their ambitions alive. But if Toronto were to manifest Super League status by their performances on the field, they would still have a hurdle to jump. Well, does that apply to Halifax? Does it apply to Featherstone? Does it apply to
Lee? Everyone, yeah.
In which case, it's not promotion relegation. But because the waters are so unclear, and as to who is making that decision is undecided, we're going into a season where acting or interim chief executive Ralph Rimmer was saying to us it won't make any difference to any of the clubs, they'll all go out there and play as if it's the same as it has been every other year. Of course it makes a difference, absolutely. If you're an owner of a club and you've got to make a decision whether there's relegation or onto whether you're going to promote your youngsters this year and give them an extra year's experience in the knowledge that you're ring fenced, or are you going to end up in £1 million game that might see you lose half of your squad? Of course it makes a difference.
There's going to be uproar, isn't there? When it gets announced, there is going to be
one way or another.
Well, is the team that is finishing fifth or sixth in the Championship thinking, if we go to 14 teams and we've still got an element of promotion of relegation, our season might still be alive? How can you have £1 million game if at the end of it you go, thanks very much, lads, but you're both staying in exactly where you were?
It'd be like the X Factor. They'll read out the result at the end, whether you're in or out.
The £1 million game, and you get £500,000 if you lose anyway.
Yeah.
Possibly.
There you go.
Brian says, why does Phil say even the Super League clubs can't decide? Doesn't the Super League clubs taking control make decision-making even harder than before?
The problem we've got is that we don't know who's making the decisions. For, you know, Nigel Wood has been to New York as one of his last final actions before the 31st of January when there's knowledge. Who is he recommending New York to? Is it to the RFL that take in their application? Or is it the Super League clubs, because that's where they're aiming to be in 2 years' time? The jigsaw doesn't fit together. And until we know, I think over the next 3 months we will see the Super League exerting more power.
Brian's also glad Scoey didn't sign for Trinity. Not every decision we made in the past was wrong. Just imagine how Nigel Wright would have been brought on under the tutorship of Mr. Schofield alongside Jeff Bagnall.
Sid has been, it was one of our resident Hulkingston Rovers fans has been having his say.
Yeah, we're asking you for your predictions. The more outlandish, the better. You know, come on with something good. Hull FC for the middle eights, says Hull KR fan in shock news.
Yeah,
there.
And he also says Salford are holding back Robert Lewis' career by not letting him go to Hull KR. Come on. Brian says, what does it say about Hulkingston Rovers that they want a player from Salford? Robert Lewis is a good player,
isn't he? He's getting into virtually every Super League team if they needed a half.
That half-back partnership between him and Maguire would cause a few defenders a few problems, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. It would.
David is one of many conspiracy theorists involved in rugby league.
Go on, then.
Because we are, anyway. The Rugby Football League won't let Featherstone go up. That's why they're going to close the trapdoor, or whatever they're going to do at the end of the season. No. We don't know. We don't know, David.
Don't know.
Well, they can't. If they have to go full-time, David, if they finish top and do everything right, they can't stop them going, surely.
Nige?
Eh?
Well, seriously. Apparently they can stop Toronto, though.
Well, yeah. Well, they are mere guests in our competition. A representative side of Toronto and bits of Manchester. And like I says, how much sway do low league clubs have? Do they get a full vote?
Yes, at the Rugby League Council they do, but it's just a question of whether the Super League clubs will take full determination of their own competition. All of the money that comes into the sport comes in via Super League, and they tend to distribute it. Or they don't physically sit there and write the cheques, but the structure is set up by the money that comes in. Super League want more of the money that comes in. De facto, there is less money to go to clubs in the Championship and League One.
I know I said outlandish, but Robert said Wakefield to finish top by the end of the normal season.
Wakefield have got one of the best balanced squad in Super League. They've got coverage in virtually every position.
It's very exciting, this part of the season, because everyone's optimistic, apart from one or two clubs, that this could be their year. Even Warrington.
I think the fact that Wakefield are established as a top eight club, considering where they were, what, two seasons ago, that is an astonishing turnaround. And if they can break into the top four, fantastic.
Three Rich, teams. What do you reckon with Wakefield then? Because I said the way they played last year was sensational. And so Wakefield this year, they're going to be a target, exactly the same as Cassie's. And I say the way they played rugby league, brilliant. You know, Chris Chester, you know, gets his players to express himself, the player with that smile on the face, which I keep going on about, which I love to see. Do you reckon Wakefield, with the expectation and the pressure on them, do you reckon they can finish in the top four? Can they handle that sort of pressure?
They can do, yes. Whether they will do, I'm not sure. Cause I would. I'm trying to think of the top 12 and where I'm going to slot everyone in. And Wakefield are going to be between 4th and 6th. But it could be one result. Like last season, one result puts you in or out of the playoffs.
What's Wakefield's first 6 fixtures? Because I think, again, if they can get off to a flyer.
I know that one.
Then. There's something that, I mean, we can't use the word momentum because Rod Studd's banned us from using it, but there will be some club like a Leeds or a Wigan.
Who says momentum?
It doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist.
Scientifically, he says it doesn't exist when it comes to sport.
I don't mention momentum, do you?
No. Move on.
And it's some big club is likely to face a year that Leeds did and then Warrington did, and he's going to get off to a poor start and not going to be able to recapture sufficient form to be anything other than looking over their shoulder all the time. There may be another club. I mean, we've seen it in previous years, even with Widnes, who accrued points at the beginning of the season that keeps them towards the top rather than the bottom. So I think Wakefield are one of those that if they get off to a really good start, we'll worry the teams at the top of the division.
Hulkingston Rovers away, first game of the season, like
winnable.
Proper sport.
Winnable.
Home at the Mobile Rocket Stadium to Salford Red Devils.
Right. Winnable.
That's winnable. That's 2 points.
That's 4 points then.
Right. Away at Catalans Dragons.
That's 6 points.
Home to Huddersfield.
That's 8 points.
Away at Wigan, 10 points. Home to Widnes, 12 points.
Klopp.
Top of the league, having a laugh.
Get that league leadership. Get those T-shirts.
Has Michael Carr
picked out? Get those stars printed up.
Has he picked out those opening six
get
games?
Get the best spots.
We're on all the teams at the bottom, or we expect to be at the bottom.
Oh, you're including Wigan.
So Wakefield, I tell you, yeah, that's a possibility. Wakefield, after six games, top of the league. Well, hey, listen, you know, the Wakefield fans, you know, they'll be expecting that. So after six games, they could be the top of the league.
As Tim Sheen said on last Thursday, every team's got to aim to finish top. You can't aim to go ninth. Oh, we're going to finish ninth.
No, you don't aim just to consolidate. Just to consolidate a position. You know, nowhere made.
I think Wakefield have got one of the deepest squads in Super League, and they've got cover in every position.
Oh, it's very exciting, isn't it?
So one wonders if they are suspending the salary cap yet.
Oh, well, to be honest with you, Phil, the squad, what they've got, and what Chester brings to that side, and what he has brought to that side, I'd say, the style of play, everybody's got a smile on their face, they enjoy the environment, the team spirit. What does the salary... What does it mean? What difference does it mean if they... Or make, should I say,
I just
spending the salary cap?
They've got depth.
Yeah, they've got depth,
which I think probably means they may have spent more money than previous
years. Do you know what upset the apple cart? Wait, if they went out there... And say, for instance, they bought a marquee player. Wakefield don't need a marquee player.
Well, because... they're not going to do that, are they?
No, but I'm just saying.
Might need a marquee instead of the stand, not a marquee player.
Yeah, that's a point, yeah. But the point I'm making is, you know, they've got a happy club there now, they've got a happy dressing room, they've got a coach who gets the best out of his players. They're going in the right direction.
What do you mean, getting someone that runs the club right off the field and pays all the bills and that makes the players happy and then the players do better and they've got a coach they like playing for? He'll never catch on, Scott.
It's also a clever move.
Running your club right and getting right results, never catch on.
And Danny Kerman being reappointed as captain, I think, is very wise. To go through a process of saying, we'll just have a look at our leaders and how we're going to play it, and then to reappoint the man who is their natural captain.
Are we starting a campaign testimonial for Kerman? Are you going to start that out? Or get some T-shirts knocked up, Rich, can't you?
Get some T-shirts knocked up and stuff. I think we're going into that business as well, aren't we? So, yeah, well, why not? As I keep banging on the drum... People get them when they haven't spent 10 consecutive years at a club, so why not?
I think he's a great...
For people who don't deserve
a great reappointment, I think.
Yes.
Also,
bad role models, testimonials.
Yeah. I don't think he'll play as much as he did, but I also maintain he'll probably play when he's fit, unlike the last couple of years when, to be fair to the lad, he's probably played 10% fit.
Some people who are not good role models have been given testimonials, and Danny Kerman is a good role model.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
All right.
That's easy enough. Very busy.
Yes, keep them coming.
As ever, on social media tonight, at RLNRY on Facebook. Andy said, let's not sit in the fence, predict who's going to finish bottom.
Go on then. Who's finishing bottom, legend?
Witness.
I think Hull KR, but that's because they've lost Danny Addy.
I keep thinking Witness, but I'm hovering between them and Salford.
Salford, Rich. The money's down. Salford.
You think Salford, do you?
Yeah, I just think... They haven't got the money. They're going to have to, I think, at some point, they're going to have to get rid of some players.
Yeah, do you know what?
It's just such a shame for Ian Watson.
It is.
Though,
I'm just going to say that, Phil. You've got to feel sorry for Watson because he's coming there, and as they say, we all know, you know, the great doctor himself. He did a great job at times, but then he just brought in players who were just, from a point of view, just looking at the pay packet, they couldn't care less about the Salford shirt, they couldn't care less about the Salford team. Watson got everybody playing how he wanted to play, got a happy dressing room, and now all this has gone on with the great doctor leaving, the other directors coming in, the situation at, with Louis, also to losing Matavai as well, maybe for the season. The dressing room is a mess. He created a great atmosphere, losing Big Murdoch Masala, Michael Dobson retiring. I tell you what, Phil, can't get any worse for him, can it?
The trouble, I think, as well, is that normally when somebody leaves a club, you judge them on, is it in a better state when they leave as when they arrive? Now, the first thing you've got to say for the good doctor is if he hadn't arrived, there wouldn't be a club. But looking at where they were on day one when he ring-fenced the debt and took over and started buying players, to where they are now, almost day one of a new season, are they in a better place?
I will say what I say a lot about London and the amount that David Hughes has invested there. Has he had his value for money? Has he got value for money? And I would say David Hughes hasn't. And that's not a criticism of London. I think they are. I've said this before. I think if he puts that money in at Wakefield or at Castleford, they're winning Super League year in, year out.
Yeah.
I think the RFL should have helped him better. And I think with hindsight, Dr. Kukash would admit he's made a lot of mistakes. So I'm with you there. I don't think he probably has.
And I also think alienating the governing body from day one and ending your tenure by saying, I think the governing body are doing a great job. Again, there's a lack of almost credibility there in some respects. It's almost making yourself more of a point of interest than the club that you're an owner of. And again, that will have ramifications somewhere down the line. And I'm not sure that some of the issue about the number of Salford fans that do or don't turn up is down to the fact that we weren't talking about the team. We were talking about the bloke that owned the team.
Yeah. I'll tell you what as well, because when we go to Salford, you know, we get a really good warm welcome. What must we think the Salford fans are thinking? Here we go again. Oh no, or do you think Salford fans at this moment in time think positive about this coming season?
A lot will depend on how Jack Littlejohn plays. And
where's he from anyway?
Wests. I don't know if he's a good player or not. But
how old is he?
All you can do is look at his record
how
and
old
say.
Is that, I've never heard of it.
But in the last 4 years, he's played about 20 NRL games.
Yeah, so what?
So is he the kind of pedigree that...
Where did he play?
He's a scrum half, but...
Did he play? Who did he play for?
West Tigers.
So he played 20 games in four years? Well, he can't be that good, can he?
Well, but what I'm saying is Michael Dobson is a proven operator at Super League level, and it may well be that Jack Littlejohn turns out to be the next Michael Dobson, but as a Salford fan, I don't know how much faith I could pin in somebody at the moment whose track record is they haven't played very much.
As a supporter of a team who may or may not have been rubbish in the past, on and off the field.
Every team's been rubbish.
But for a prolonged period of time, like most of their time in Super League, you just go in there thinking, another year. Hopefully survival. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Get behind your team. But all teams can win.
The thing about Salford in the first half of last year was they really were creating something. Because not only were they in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup...
Oh, they were brilliant
..for the first time since nine. Not only were they in the top four at the end of the regular season, but we were talking about them and Castleford playing really great rugby.
Brilliant.
And what scuppered Ian Watson wasn't that his team stopped playing great rugby. He just couldn't get the same 17 players out every week.
Yeah.
And they're in a worse position now at the start of the season than they were at the end of last season.
When you look at the English coaches, you know, who are in there now and established, and I say, I've just mentioned, you know, with Scott Naylor doing a great job at Oldham, and I say, look at what Chris Chester's doing, and I say, Watson, a great job at Salford from there. You know, that kid, you know, if he doesn't work out at Salford, deserves an opportunity at a bigger club. He does, because he wants to play the game in the right way, gets the best out of his players, gets the smiles on the face of the players.
They might be injury-free, barring Vatavai, they might do all right.
Mark, you've been in the dressing room yourself in the sport that you played in cricket. The dressing room's a mess. If the dressing room's a mess, you can't get the best out of your players. You know, I'm not having it where, you know, put a bit of spin on this, a bit of spin. We don't put spin on this show, we tell the facts.
Is the worry then if they're one of the players, and I'm not going to name players, but if they think Rob Lewis is going, or they go to their agent, I'm looking around and thinking, this is going to be a bit of a slog, can you get me out of here? Is that what you think might be happening, or what?
Without a doubt.
You say it's a mess, why is it a mess? Why is the dressing room a mess?
Well,
they're all getting paid, aren't they?
Well, they're happy they've just got the game paid. No, they want to go out there and perform with the best players around them and keep the best players.
So you think it could be one goes, a few go, or...
Domino effect.
Without a doubt. No two ways about it. And the person you've got to feel sorry for, fellas, is Ian Watson, because he has created this happy environment. He has created a brand of rugby league where it's, last year was brilliant at times, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know. So there's one man you've got to feel sorry for, and that's Watson himself.
Graham Richardson has been on. Scoy, what are the pies like at Keighley? I'm going on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, the food's quality.
Who are they playing?
Yeah, we've got... It's the Rhinos test...
Brendan
Rawlings testimonial, yeah. So, the food's excellent, so get yourself down there.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be the bit you missed at the beginning, was the Keighley Cougars, brand awareness notice.
He's promoting the brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So he ain't got the badge on, kissing the badge, you know, on the camera and that.
My leisure wear's arrived, so that'll be happening next week.
My leisure
wear's arrived, so I'll be wearing it next week. Don't worry about that.
You won't have seen on social media, you got some right hammer about your... Whilst the fans loved your tales of dressing gowns, etc. It was Danny Rubin, who's the England press officer, said he listens to us while he's on the treadmill in Australia. And I think, was it Nigel who said, you can just imagine Scoy running next to you with his dressing gown
Let me just tell you this. Saturday night.
Dinner's gone.
What about this? Saturday night, I went to go pick Jonathan about dropping me Leeds. We're Wayne Rett's 30th. Anyway, so I've got my dressing gown on, but I had to go to cash machine. So I go to the cash machine at Middleton.
In your dressing gown?
In my dressing gown, right? And then as I get out of the car, goes to the cash machine, there's only this woman in the dressing gown as well with a pajamas on. And then there's two young lads in cars just parked up and Wood shouted, are you two related? Are you brother and sister? I went, hey mate, it's the fashion, don't worry about that. She wanted the dressing gown pajamas and I'm in my dressing gown. If you could see it, honestly, it was dead funny. It was brilliant. Dressing gown
at
night.
The
dressing gown.
You are
night.
A disgrace.
They're the way to go. Dressing gown after 8 o'clock. Get your dressing gowns on.
What would you have done if your car had broken down or something? What would you have done?
What can I do? I'll make a phone call and get picked up. What can I do? What more can I do? Can't do any more, can you?
Is Dr. Devil still at Salford? Or has he gone as well?
I don't know.
That's the big question. Big question.
I don't know. Why, we're trying to get a new job for Scoy?
Dr. Dressing gown.
Yeah. I can imagine him rocking up at Warrington on Thursday night. Dressing gown, slippers.
Can I come and shoot him in dressing gown?
No.
Okay.
No. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, honestly, we're dead funny. Saturday
night,
we're both stuck there.
Jeez. My sources suggest that Wakefield, by the way, are not yet spending salary cap.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, they don't need to.
Done very well to get such debt
value
without.
For money.
Correct. They've got enough quality.
You see, Andrew has questioned your dressing gown story. Yeah. Because he says, don't believe it, Scoy going to a cash machine. See, the listeners are not daft.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't know why I went there, so we're not winning.
Where did you keep your card? That's my worry.
No!
This is the family show.
I want to know.
This is the family show.
7.6 billion people worldwide can't be wrong.
I want to know which bank you went to. I'm going to see if there's any footage on cash point.
It's one next to where it was where I know I go for an athlete's breakfast next to Morris. It was next to Morris there, just on the Middleton Road, where opposite Conservative Club, Phil. There, yeah. It's where we had my dad's reception when he passed away. But yeah, next to the Morris, a cash machine there, and I don't know why I went because I had no in it. But anyway, honestly, brilliant. You couldn't have scripted it. The lady in front of me, she had a dressing gown and pyjamas on, and I'm there in the flip-flops and the dressing gown.
Now our boundaries are expanding from Radio Yorkshire to proper sport. We can talk about cafes all across.
Yeah, we can.
So there's any cafes all across the world. So if you want a cafe you want to invite Scoey to, free food, it'll turn up. It's all right. It's good news.
Yeah. In a dressing gown.
Oh, no.
It's getting worse.
I want pictures of the legend on his weekly whereabouts. I do, honestly. I want them.
Steve and Matt have asked similar-ish questions. Steve saying, if Toronto are allowed to broker their own TV deal, can the rest of the Championship clubs do the same? Answer that one, Steve, of course, is no. And Matthew says, regarding more exposure for rugby league, could
don't
the
mention
NFL...
exposure in his dressing gown.
Oh, no. Could the RFL set up a YouTube channel and stream a lower league game every week like the French rugby league do? Why not?
Is there any money in it? I mean, we have had an announcement that, you know, Bein are featuring Catalan Super League games for the next 2 years, but in the announcement there was no indication of what value was on that contract.
25 francs.
Francs? There you go.
Phil says, hey up Gary, could you... Oh, you spelled Gary wrong, don't tell him.
Oh dear.
Could you wish my little wino, that's his words, not mine, Tony Hodgson a happy 6th birthday would make her day. I'm hoping one day she will grow up and support the mighty Trin.
Happy birthday, happy 6th birthday.
Yeah,
huh?
There you go.
What's, if you send you the dressing, I'll send you the signed photograph. How about that?
Why, has Tony got a habit of going near the fire? We need to keep her away from the fire.
Have you seen the Jesse? I'll send a signed photograph.
And if Steve's listening, we are going to send you a photo.
I have. Text me tomorrow.
We will send you them, because he tweets me every week, and I say we
apologies.
Will.
Apologies.
And it's not my... Everyone blames me for everything.
Well, you're the gaffer, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get the blame sometimes instead of me.
Being the boss is about delegating, so I've delegated everything to you, and then you get all the blame.
Somebody want a signed figure, something?
Yeah.
One of the ones.
But Steve says he wants... only a signed photo of all of us. Like, I keep saying we'll get him one.
Yeah. A signed photo of all of us? Yeah. What do you want a picture of us for?
Do you know what? The rarest
I can understand it of me, but...
Doubtful.
Oh, yeah. The rarest Doubtful. Thing you can find is an unsigned copy of Scully's autobiography.
I know, yeah. He took it on the Antiques Roadshow and they say, what, it's unsigned?
You've still got my autobiography, haven't you?
I've thrown it away.
Somebody wants it.
Well, it's in a skip in Bradford. I'll have to go have a look for it.
I've got a shot for 25p.
Do they need to put somebody on the fire?
It's a bit arse, Phil. It's a bit arse.
Yeah. What about Gary Schofield's Captain's Diary? Forward. That's a great one.
Forward by Eddie Rombo is his most about.
Captain's Diary? What did it have? Did it have four pages that said, today's not been a good day. I've been sacked as captain.
The only thing he needed to do was win the World Cup. And it would have been a bestseller.
Oh,
it did all right. We had a big queue at Ostix when we launched.
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah. Every Monday it was, is it Smith's? Is it Town Hall?
Yeah. Injured again.
Injured again, it's a bit harsh, Phil. It's a bit harsh.
No, that year you had that ear infection.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I have to talk about
I'm not playing.
Issues.
Pardon?
Well, David actually wants you to sign his book when you're next at Fev, so David, take it. He'll be there eventually.
Yeah, no. Hey, tell you what as well, when we was at Oldham yesterday with Keith, the Oldham fans, they gave me plenty of respect as well from a point of view where, you know, to say a bit of outcry from the Oldham fans when I said they get relegated, but yesterday, yeah, they were very respectful. A few of them had the photograph taken and whatever, so, yeah, onwards and upwards for Oldham.
How was White Bank? Because, again,
excellent.
They moved home.
Yeah, they moved home. Good pitch and whatever, yeah, the facility from there. And as I said, the players are allowed to express themselves under a good coach in Scott Naylor there. So, yeah, thanks to the Oldham fans yesterday for their respect.
And you mentioned Chris Hamilton. He's got to be one of the stalwarts of the sport.
Well, he's got to...
I mean, how long has he been keeping Oldham going? 20-odd years?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. He deserves a medal. He deserves the George Cross, doesn't he, to be honest with you? He does.
Someone actually has knighted you, Gary, which is a surprise, because obviously rugby league people don't get anywhere near the honours list these days. He was one of our Hull fans, Mike. Who would Sir Scully have at loose forward for Hull FC this year?
At loose forward? It's just come from Hulkinson Rovers. Jordan Abdul, without a shadow of a doubt. That triangle. Yeah, Jordan Abdul. I like him as a player. Hopefully Radders will let him play with that vision and awareness, bring that different sort of creativity, what Hull are looking for. Yeah, Abdul, without a doubt.
Terry sent us in a 1973 contract at Castleford, signing on fee £500. You get picked for Yorkshire, £250, full international, another £250.
Well, was that 1974?
Yeah, 1973.
Yeah, say in our day, the average what? You know, £4,000 or £5,000. You're signing on fee. Yeah, yeah.
Paul, signing on fee, laddie.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine how many dressing gowns you could get for that. In those days.
So listen, it's my birthday in July. Don't forget Christmas time. Dressing gowns galore.
Mm. I'm surprised Keithley's apparel doesn't include a dressing gown.
Yeah, I was thinking more straight jacket, but...
I've got adverts you've done for Great Britain in the past where you know, with Great Britain shirts and polo shirts, but no Great Britain dressing gowns.
No. Yeah, me and Joe Lydon, we were the RFL models in them days. We used to be...
Did you have the ambassador's contract?
We were the models of rugby league.
Yeah, you got 25 quid instead of 25 grand.
Myself and Joe Lydon were the rugby league models in them days.
Did he have some dodgy glasses like you had?
Move on. Look at your glasses you've got on.
What's wrong with them?
Replaced by Dennis Betts because he was younger and blonder.
These are the fashion now, legend. I don't think anyone ever said that about your glasses.
They weren't fashion when I first got mine in 1992, I'll tell you. Yeah. Still looking out for that optician.
Paul's putting us in the shoes of Darryl Powell. He says, on one wing, Greg Egan, and on the other, Minikin, Leclerc, Ortegaudo. Who would you have on the wing?
It's an interesting one. Very interesting.
I think it'd be interesting to see how Gary Lowe adapts to Super League. He was sensational for Sheffield last year in what were, for most of that season, a struggling team. Scored, 35 tries? And he looked really good for PNG in the World Cup. You would have seen him close up.
Yeah. It'd
be really interesting to see how he adapts to Super League.
I tell you what I'm looking at here. You look at the Betfred betting for the Man of Steel in the Grand Final. But you look at the top try scorers. Who's picked these? Joe Burgess at 8-1. Well, they don't pass the ball. Greg Eden, you have him in there. Gary Lowe may not play. Jermaine McGilvery, unless he runs through the middle, because they don't pass the ball wide. Tom Lynham, he's not hardly going to play. And Greg Minikin. Where they got the players from that? What about your Ryan Hall and Briscoe and all this sort of thing? And the St. Helens wingers. Why are they in it?
Makinson could have a wow of a season.
Oh, he's good. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ben Barber, he'll be looking to score a few pork pies, won't he? You know what I mean? And Burgess, Eden, yeah, I'll have him in there. But the rest of them, I tell you what, I should be in there at 12 to 1 of my age. With a dressing gown on, I'll tell you. I'll get over for a few pot pies.
If you haven't seen it, or maybe you have, the advert produced by Betfred to promote the new Super League season, exactly what it was supposed to, exactly what it should be, and not exactly like the one.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, I won't be second here.
I went home this afternoon, I put the Sky, and that advert come on.
Yeah, it does.
That advert came on, right, and it, the Brownie, and they just went, blew the whistle. Right, off you go, lads. And then it just came on. Betfred Super League starts Thursday. Yeah. How pathetic is that advertisement?
Well, Sky have also advertised all of the properties they're going to have in February and why it's going to be such a big month. What kicks off on the 1st of February that wasn't on the advert?
Proper spot on, that's nice.
Rug,
Premier
really?
League darts.
Oh. That was plenty of that.
Never mind.
42.
Yeah, I was going to say, the shortened version's even worse than the actual full one, isn't it? It just makes no sense
Mark,
at all.
Mark, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
What purpose does it serve for rugby league?
It's a great advert for the Brownlees.
I know people have opinions on the industry the sponsors are in, but you have to say, as sponsors, they've done a very good job in promoting the property they have put their money to, and we'll see how they continue with that this year. And obviously, they've added the Championship and League One to that portfolio.
And they're going to be doing odds for those divisions as well.
Which is good. Mm. And the question I would ask, and again, this is... I haven't got a clue. I'm just some idiot who just sits here and reads things off bits of paper. The Women's Super League launches later in the year. Why don't we stick Betfred on that as well? Or whoever. Because at least then you've got continuity across the sport. They're a well-known brand. Or are we going to kick off the season with no sponsor?
Well, the other thing is, when are we going to kick off the season? And how many teams are going to be in?
Yeah.
And again, I think we will get a Women's Super League. We'll probably get 8 sides and we'll get some of the games, I think, even televised. But it's very, very late to be making these announcements. It's February this week and they're supposed to be kicking off in April.
Mm. OK. Lots of people getting in touch on Twitter at RLNR. Why?
Yeah, Rick and Rob, they're sticking their money on Tom Johnston.
What price is he, Tom Johnston?
Try scorers.
I backed him last year and then he did his knee in, which was bad, but he made me enough money by then to justify it, so it was good. But
I'll tell you what, lads, I'm looking here, James Robey 16-1. I'm having a silly 10 on James Robey, Man of Steel. Without a doubt. Richardson, I would have 20 quid, but I'm going to have 10 on Richardson and a 10 on Robey. 16-1, absolute steal.
Why don't you just have a fiver on and buy yourself some jeans for when you go out driving?
Because I don't want to.
Yeah. You can only bet on who's going to be in the dream team.
A fiver?
Which is good, because we can influence
that. He'd get 5 pairs.
Top try scorer, here we go. Castleford, favourites to be the grand final winners, interestingly. Tom Johnston, 18-1, there you go, best price on Tom Johnston, top try scorer.
It's got to be worth a tenner of Scully's money.
Yeah. Joe Burgess is the same price this year with the sponsors as he was last year.
Well, is Joe Burgess going to play in the centre or on the wing?
Don't know.
Because in Marshall and Davis, they had two very good young wingers who scored a lot of tries. And at some point, Manfredi's come back.
Has he got the passing skills or to be a centre, Joe Burgess?
You mentioned Tom Makinson, 25-1.
Makinson, what top try scorer? 25?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Reading numbers off a piece of paper.
So what's the top?
Tom Briscoe, 33s.
Five. What's Ryan Hall?
Ryan Hall, 25-1. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm less happy about the Hall. He'll chip in with his tries, but I'm not sure he's prolific as he was.
Well,
but
Moon was Leeds' leading try scorer. Yeah. Let's see, what's he?
I can't find him.
What price is our man Myler?
Myler to get 20 tries in the season.
Let me do it in alphabetical order. Get Myler on that list. R is for Richie. Richie Myler is 50-1.
Right,
Richard Myler, give him
we'll
some
chip in.
And Joel Moon, J-O-E-L, 50-1. Well, that's... hang on.
I'd say those are wrong.
Am I on there?
Having had some successful investments last night on professional wrestling, I might invest it in professional rugby league now.
Very good.
Yeah.
So it's there. If you want to get involved,
gamble responsibly.
Please gamble responsibly.
Challenge Cup this week, or last week. Draws made on Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
can think of.
There were a couple of extra time games, weren't they? In the
Batley Boys on.
Yeah, Batley Boys had a great win over Overton. Yeah, my good friend George Davis, his son, were playing in there. He was absolutely delighted. He phoned me up. He said, "Scoy, I can't believe it, because Overton, I think they're three leagues above Batley Boys, so they had a great win in Golden Point."
Was it Hunslet who had the week off because their opponents couldn't get a team?
Valley Cougars were having a wedding. Well, they wanted to play on the Sunday. To be fair, Hunslet Old Boys.
Yeah, Valley Raiders or something.
Valley Cougars
from Wales or something.
Yeah. Everyone was at a wedding, so there you go. By the way, in the media tipping competition, which we're all I'm going to eventually do my top 12. St Helens so far been picked top by most. So-called rugby league experts, or as they're otherwise known, the media.
My mate Richie DeLaviers, who does my column in the League Express, he's joined it this year, Richie. Yeah. So me and Richie, again, because obviously I do my predictions every year, and for the last 5 years, I've beaten Richie for the last 5 years, and we do it for a curry, like I do with you, but you don't pay exactly the same as Richie DeLaviers. He hasn't paid for the last 5 years.
I am consulting my lawyers about this.
So this year now, Richie's joined in with the press, so then we will know exactly how many he gets right, he gets wrong, so then we'll know that the legend, he'll beat him again this year, and it'll certainly be taking me out for a curry.
The top four according to the media, and of course we know as much as you do. Saints, Cass, Leeds and Hull.
That's my top four.
There you go then.
That's the legends top four.
People agree with you, Scotty, so get your predictions into us, because you know it's just an opinion. We'll probably be wrong.
Richard says you're lying, you haven't beaten him.
I spoke to him this afternoon, and he knows exactly. And his words to me were, "Right, Scoey, I'm in this week with the press, so then we know exactly who's going to win, and I'm going to win. Simple as that."
All right, so you haven't won, but you're going to win this year. Is that what you're saying?
No, I've won for the last 5 years.
Yeah,
he knows that.
There you go. Look, there you go. We've actually got a picture from that cash point of you out in your dressing gown.
It's a great one, by the way.
We'll tweet that out now. We'll tweet that out. We will tweet that out. Thank you.
Graham's complaining that the FA Cup draws on the one show and our Challenge Cup draws in secret. Well, there is a bit of a difference between the two competitions.
Yeah. And also, we're not at the at the similar level of the Challenge of the FA Cup yet.
Mark, I'll tell you what I'll do, Mark. The best suite that comes in, they'll get the signed photograph of this. What do you reckon, Mark? They'll want that, won't they?
Well, if you've got a stamp,
Look at that, that's an absolute beauty, isn't it?
Brian asks, who will be the early season shock team who fades as soon as the grounds start to dry out? I don't know if that's referring to any team from last season over there, Brian. I don't know. Who's going to start well and fade away?
I think a lot of it will be down to injuries. I genuinely do. That there'll be a club that unfortunately will have a horror run like Widnes did last year, and it'll scupper. But the great thing is get your predictions in now, because this time next week we'll actually have some games to talk about.
And next week, Scotty will predict a different team to win Super League, so stay tuned for that. Robert goes Saints, Leeds, Cass and Wakefield. Andy goes Warrington, Wigan, Leeds and Saints, in that order.
If it's Warrington up in his top?
Yeah, above Wigan, in second. Andy said it was a great match on Saturday in the Challenge Cup, in a mud, proper pitch. Proper rugby league, he said. I watched bits of it. Doing other stuff. Proper sport, yeah, proper sport. Don't forget that hashtag. Proper sport. Yeah. There's the key words, listeners. The key words you need to learn. Proper sport. Last tackle preview coming up later.
Yeah, that'll be out later on.
With all 12 clubs. The only televised preview of the rugby league season you need to see. Probably the only one you'll see as well on YouTube. But there you go. Richard says, one game on Sunday in the opening round of Super League. Are we missing a trick? Yes. We keep saying this.
Yeah, we've had this before, Richard, with our work elsewhere, that some broadcasters want to cover games on a Sunday and there are often hard games on for them to cover, which is quite annoying, really, but hey-ho. As we've said, for me, the game should be TV game Thursday, TV game Friday, correct, TV game Sunday night, 6:30, everyone else kicks off at 3:00 on Sunday.
And maybe TV game Saturday, late tea time, if it's from France.
Okay.
Well, as we saw with the FA Cup this week, they had two games on Saturday night, one at 5:00 and one at 5:30 and one at 7:45. Why can't we have a game in that late Saturday time slot?
I don't know.
I know people kick off about every single time slot saying, oh, this is unfair on the kiddies, I am working, this, that and the other. I mean, we have to play the game scheduled around every single person's individual personal preferences, but... I mean, in fairness, Philip makes a fair point on Thursday night games. Wouldn't it be better if the matches were kept local, Yorkshire versus Yorkshire, Lancashire versus Lancashire? Reduce supporters' travel and time? Would it bring more people through the gate? In theory, yes.
Mm.
But people still find an excuse, Philip.
They will. They will. We're now getting inundated with pictures of Scoey.
No.
Some may or may not be Scoey, but they're funny anyway.
Are they broadcastable?
No, not really. Not really.
This is what happens.
This is, you know, the listeners have got a lot, you know, they've got a mind of their own.
Or too much time on their hands.
Oh, by the way, maple syrup last week. We got
maple
inundated.
Maple syrup gate.
Yeah, because Scoey was not happy with you last week. We've got to be honest.
I wasn't happy. I was on warm weather training.
You weren't sharing the maple syrup, even though Gary doesn't actually know what it's for. Yeah. But the fact you didn't share it means that he was upset with you. So he was upset. He was getting.
I told
stuck
you, he's sharing it with his sister Tracy.
Well, Tracy denied this last week. So where is the maple syrup, Phil?
It's in a cupboard in our kitchen.
Have you eaten any of it yet?
No,
not yet.
No, I'm not drunk any either.
So Phil, exclusively now, who are you sharing it? Are you sharing it with the lads? Are you sharing it with your sister Tracy?
Wait for your first barbecue. We're going to pour it over the ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, there we go then.
We're going to pour it over you and chuck you on the barbecue.
It's like Lord of the Flies.
So, Tracy, sorry, darling, you could get lost, you're not getting the syrup. Hey, lovely.
Andy asks if any coach will get the sack this season.
Probably. Yes.
Probably.
Well, they will, but we don't encourage that,
no,
do we?
No.
But they will do.
We'll move on.
I would hope not.
We don't condone this behaviour.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Colin's asked an easy question. I know the answer to this one myself. How come Hull and Giants are on Thursday night? Hull are off to Australia. You may have seen it.
Yeah. Rolling. Is that right, though? Because Salford Wigan is Friday, isn't it?
Yep. Mm. But that is the opening game of the season, actually, Hull and Huddersfield. So all of this, it's Warrington and Leeds. It isn't. That kicks off a quarter of an hour later. So the opening game of the season will be Hull and Huddersfield.
When did Hull go to Australia? Right.
They
go on
Friday. Kick off at 8, wouldn't they?
I think that, aren't they kicking off earlier?
Oh, I don't know.
So do Hull go to Australia on Friday? They fly out Friday?
Well, I assume so.
You'd think they're giving themselves as much time as possible. Oh, yeah, Hull are kicking off at 8. It won't be half 7. So it is the
So you were wrong there, Phil. Yeah, never mind.
It won't be the first time.
I'm just wondering why the... Are the fixtures not in the paper today?
They're
in the
page 5.
Because usually they're on the back, aren't they?
Yeah, oh, that's...
Look, but we're all excited. The brand new season is here, almost.
Championship kicks off Friday night. Dewsbury-Sheffield.
Eddie Hearn's still not involved. We've still got an acting chief executive. Nothing's changed from last week. And... The trophy's clean, and Scully's got a new hat, and we're all, Scully's not worn his hat yet in the studio, which is a shame because Phil brought it in with him. Myself and Tom Cantor, we had to fight to get us. The Rugby Football League didn't believe we were members of our league, but we said yes, we are. Got my phone out, showed them, and got me hat. I'll be happily wearing that at games this season because in the Rugby Football League, people don't know this, in the media rules of the Rugby Football League, you are not allowed to wear club colours, which is a fair rule, although flouted by some. But the official Rugby League media hat is in whites with red and blue hoops. Which
Wakefield.
Coincidentally, the colours of my team, so I can wear that legitimately and not be told off by the Rugby Football League. We'll see how long that lasts for. Ian says he hopes Gary predicts St Helens to win against Castleford. Ian, of course, is a Castleford fan.
I have indeed. I've tipped Saints in the League Express, Saints to win by 20.
Let's talk about Toronto.
Go on then.
Is Paul Rowley good? This is not me, by the way. Is Paul Rowley good enough to coach in Super League, or is he limited by bully boy tactics? Well, not in Super League yet, of course. And they might not be in Super League, as we discovered last week after this programme went to air.
Yeah.
But.
Who are the favourites for the championship? Do you reckon it's Lee because they've had the £500,000 parachute payment?
Yeah, I would say it'd be Lee.
Featherstone shaping up well in pre-season.
Yeah, but Toronto, I'm not being rude. What does that prove?
No, nothing. Toronto lost 3 players, gained 2. Got an injury crisis.
Good
apparently.
Signing, Jack Buchanan, for them, actually. I think, considering it's some of the people that he got, I actually think they've upgraded, in my opinion.
Well, they've got an 80-minute work, haven't they?
I thought he went all right for Widnes whenever I saw him, Buchanan, so decent.
I tell you what, that's going to be a great game, though, isn't it? Lee and Toronto on Sunday.
Are you expecting fireworks?
How tasty is that going to be?
Yeah. As Andy said, looks one very tasty game. Looking forward to this than a Super League game. That's because people buy into that kind of rivalry, whether it's real or manufactured.
It's not just going to be fiery on the pitch. It's certainly going to be fiery off the pitch as well, because it's the first time Paul's been back since he left Lee last year under, I guess maybe we could say, under a bit of a cloud, I guess, from a point of view. But that is going to be very, very tasty.
And in an immediate apology to Phil Kaplan, because the paper's wrong, and Hull FC are kicking off at 7:45.
Ah, well,
so turn up on time.
Yeah, don't turn up at 8.
I thought they were, but yeah. Anyway.
Because all games are kicking off 7:45, aren't they, for TV? Or
yeah.
7:35.
I think every game is has been moved, because we're now getting to the point where people are actually considering the newspaper writers, and with the games getting longer and longer, deadlines were being missed.
And
particularly televised games with a video referee.
And supporters can get home earlier as well. Andy says, Fev Facts should be a humdinger season underway. Shame they met a couple of weeks ago in a friendly as well, but c'est la vie.
Mm-hmm.
Fev with their big signings. Martin Ridyard, Gareth Hawk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's no, fair play. They've recruited really well. They have.
Who else will be the fourth? So if we assume that Lee,
Toronto,
by virtue of the fact that they've had a parachute payment, should be in the top four.
Is it Halifax, London or Toulouse? Is it one of those?
What do we reckon?
Halifax for me.
You think?
Richard Marshall was very bullish when I spoke to him last week.
Yeah, Halifax for me. Yeah.
I think London. I think you have underestimated London.
Yeah, I do.
Saying they're going to finish 10th. I think Danny Ward was making some really positive noises at the launch. They've got a very solid and together squad, and some good youngsters coming through. I think they could make four. Batley looked good this year as well.
No, the legend's made his mind up. You won't be persuaded, will you?
I'm not changing, no.
Benny asks questions. I'm sure this is just, you know, Scoey writing these tweets for himself, because he knows the answers. As ageing Aussies come to Super League for a payday, does the panel think Aussie coaches come here as a stepping stone to getting head coach jobs in the NRL? Or should we be giving top jobs to the likes of Richard Marshall, etc.?
I don't think you can prescribe to clubs who they should employ, but going back to players, I think there should be an absolute 100% ban on overseas players in the Championship and League One.
And they will say,
yeah,
that's
I agree with that. I agree with that.
What about when we get to the qualifiers?
Well, do we know?
I'm just asking that as a devil's advocate question.
No, I'm just saying, do we know what the structure is for next year when the qualifiers disappear?
If you had straightforward promotion and relegation, that wouldn't matter, would it? The only thing, I guess, that then would matter is if you then go to Super League, you get loads of, or you fill your quota and then you get relegated. What happens to those players then?
Yeah, but I just don't think we should have them. I don't think any team in League One should have an. I mean, I think Huntsler have signed an Australian standoff. I just don't see the point. That is denying, for me, a young player a chance to play the sport here, and our participation numbers are relatively poor.
And that goes the same for football with League One and League Two teams with foreigners in there. It's like they don't need them. What are you doing all this for?
No,
this is not a bad old foreign people thing.
No. It's just about preserving the fact that we need more people to play for longer who are dropping out of the sport that could be playing in League One or the Championship and their place is taken by...
Yeah, but again...
I'm sure that Barrow have signed a great player in Dean Paratta, who was the Italian national hooker and an Aussie. But isn't there some young hooker in Cumbria that would relish the chance of playing
exactly,
in the Championship?
Exactly, you see, there's loads of, you know, the English talent who want an opportunity, but they're just not given that opportunity, you know, and... I find it disgraceful. I do. You know, these young kids just want this opportunity to prove themselves, and you know, I mean, no wonder we're losing kids at 18 and 19 because the dreams have just been totally flattened for themselves and the loss of the game. You know, it's disgusting. It is.
Back to Fellas and Andy's said Tom Holmes and Martin Ridyard will ruin most teams this season. I forgot about Tom Holmes because they signed him midway through last season, so it's almost forgotten he's there. But what a partnership that could be for Fellas and.
That's an ideal partnership because Ridyard's the organiser, he'll be taking charge of Tom Holmes, he'll take charge for, you know, maybe 5 or 6 minutes at a time from there, but he'll be the support player
He's very quick
and he can read the game very well, and I say Ridyard will be the main player from there, and I say the big forwards, what they've got, Hawk with the passing skills, it would surprise me, Holmes, in the Championship this year, I reckon it'll be maybe 25-30 tries this year, me, for Featherstone.
Just one behind Richie Myler.
Brian says, what about foreigners who live down south and play for Scholars, Coventry or Wales? We'll give them dispensation. It's all right. Gary says, Gary Carter, that is. He's got better sources than us. He says, don't be surprised to see the £1 million game being 6th versus 7th in the qualifiers.
Mm. But it'd be handy if we sort of knew that. Particularly if you're a...
So that ultimately then could lead to a part-time team being promoted to Super League.
Which is what we're trying. But what if Super League's going to 14 teams?
Well, I think that's what he's saying,
and
isn't it?
They want to ring-fence the 14 teams. As in, they've given Lee a parachute pay.
You're not saying that, for instance, if... I don't know. I don't want to name a club because it's kind of disrespectful. If, say, semi-pro club A made it into the Super League and then it was ring-fenced, would the fans of semi-pro club A then be against ring-fencing clubs?
You just need to know, don't you?
It's bonkers. It is. Do you imagine if Premier League kicks off...
Ugh.
And they go, well, I'll tell you what, lads, it might be one goes down, it might be five, or it could be six.
But do you know who...
No one's going to sign up for that.
Do you know who's really short-changed by all of this? Yes, obviously it affects the livelihood of the clubs and the players, but it's the fans. The fans who are being sold season tickets without knowing what they're actually watching this year.
Yeah. And then told halfway through that, actually, it doesn't matter what your team does, they can lose every week because they're going to be in next year anyway.
Great news for our... listeners next week, because of course we are the build-up to the repeat of Lee versus Toronto for the cheapskates like myself who don't have Premier anymore, because it's on Free Sport afterwards at 8:30. But I don't have Free Sport because I don't have Virgin, so I can't watch it. Good news from Tim and Andy. They've already picked holes in our idea of banning foreigners. He says, in that case, overseas players should not be eligible for Super League clubs versus Champions clubs in the Cup. And Andy says, no overseas players in the Champions League one. What about Toulouse and Toronto? They would be nothing without them.
Fair point. Anyway. It is a fair point.
But they're guests of the competition, so they can do what they want.
Yeah, but also as well, because I'll agree with Phil there, without a doubt, overseas players and outside of Super League, but they could fill these sides with quality British talent who are not being given this opportunity to play.
And if you are going to have dual registration, isn't that where it works?
Exactly. There's loads of British talent out there that just want an opportunity, but unfortunately, they're not being given it.
I think Toronto and Toulouse are slightly different because they play in a different country, but the general principle of certainly all League One teams and a traditionally based English team that has access to pools of talent shouldn't employ overseas players.
It is an interesting one, but if we're going to become a multinational sport, it's very hard to police, isn't it? That's the problem.
It is.
That is the problem.
But we set the quotas. As a sport.
Yeah, but we set the quotas for the sport when we're an all-English sport, or British sport, to be correct. Yeah?
I think we've always had overseas players playing in the championship, and I'm still not sure it's...
How can the RFL turn down, is it Cooney-Minger's visa to play at...
For about half a percent or whatever it was.
For about half a percent, when he can play in the competition anyway. How does that work?
But is he French or is he Papua New Guinea?
Well, I mean, it's just laughable, isn't it? It is laughable.
But then I'd make the restriction, and maybe this is even more ridiculous an idea. I don't have a problem with players coming over from Papua New Guinea, Fiji, the Cook Islands, Tonga, wherever. I have a problem with fourth-rate Australians who ain't any good getting contracts in the Championship and League One or whatever. Mm. You know, I saw enough of them at Wakefield in the bad days of Wakefield being bad, and thinking, well, how are you got a contract over here when you aren't any good and you couldn't make it in the NRL? You know, at least if you're signing players from Papua New Guinea, Fiji, whatever, you're developing the game on a worldwide basis. Signing fourth, fifth-rate Australians is not doing that.
Yeah, but still, though, then Papua New Guineans are coming over. They're taking the place.
But at least in a far bigger picture... We're doing
I think that's changed with PNG Hunters having a team in the Queensland Cup, and it's going to change with the Fijians having a team in the New South Wales Cup. There will be avenues for their... obviously, their World Cup players will gravitate towards NRL teams. Their second-best players will play in the tier below. I don't have a problem with that. I think that is developing talent and it feeding back to where it came from. The issue I have is that wider teams in League One feel they need to go and get overseas players.
What was everyone else say? Just bring back the reserve grade. And everything goes back full circle. There is a discussion about what are Toronto and what are Toulouse. And David says, Toulouse are French, which is true. Toronto is English.
That's Dave Taylor who sent that in.
Is it that one?
Did he get sacked last week?
Is it you, David?
David,
are you using
you?
Your Sunday name on social media? What is going on?
Yeah, let us know. The legend's getting some hammer about his.
His
dressing
predictions.
Stephen's now tweeting. Stephen, we're on with your picture. Don't panic. Yes, this is Terry. Does Gary use form and logic when predicting scores, or read them off tea leaves? Since to be cast by 20. Bet he doesn't put his money where his mouth is.
He does, hence why his skin, Terry, to be honest.
League's worst tip.
St Helens by 20? Explain yourself.
Get cast plus 13 on the coupon.
Well, if you, I guess if he's got the league expressed at the side of him, it's all there to see, isn't it? And I say from the point of view, again, it's there. The reason why Saints will beat Cass. This is the worst possible game for Cass at the start of the season because the headache and the hangover, and I say from the grand final and St Helens, for me, you know, with the mobility, what they've got in there, the creativity, the halfbacks, Ben Barber at fullback, and also as well in the St Helens dressing room, that word revenge will be in there. They'll be saying it won't be, but that word revenge for missing out of the grand final from there, and I say James Roby back to his best. Everybody will be looking to put a marker down on Friday night, and as I say, that's why I fancy him to win.
Hands
by 20 points.
Hats off to the fixture planners for that game as well, because I think that, you know, there was no more drama in any game last year than that semi-final.
Brilliant, wasn't it? Brilliant.
Fantastic. You know, edge of the seat stuff, and swung one way and then the other, and Saints will be wanting to put that right. Cass will be wanting to say we're not a one-season wonder, so, you know, we do criticise the fixture planners, we do criticise the RFL. They have got that one absolutely right. Friday night, there is no other place than either being at the totally wicked stadium or watching it, if you can, or listening to it.
It's got a rain on Thursday, apparently, in St Helens, or Friday. Friday, it's got a rain. So, does that affect you? 20 points? 20 points is a lot. Legend. Did anyone beat Cass by 20 last year?
Well, let's wait and see.
All right.
Let's wait and see.
No problem. No problem. We'll give you a chance to change your mind, but you won't. Go on then.
Now, why not go to 14 clubs? Asked Brian. We didn't have enough players 3 years ago and have lost more to the NRL since. Will weaken Super League and create more blowouts?
There's a case for that, for sure.
Well, the landscape hasn't changed that much in three years.
Hasn't changed at all. In fact, if anything, it's got worse.
Yeah.
Because we're not now importing top names from the NRL because we can't afford them. So we haven't got less people playing. We've seen when the teams have been relegated that their players get recycled. We haven't generated enough quality players to go back to 14 teams.
Howard sent us a picture of the horse and jockey. That was nice of him.
All right, good.
So if you want to send us pictures of old pubs going right there.
Yeah, the horse and jockey. Jim Barnes, he was the landlord. Great landlord. Yeah,
and just a quick one. Someone's just messaged in about this. It is John. Says the back page of the paper is quoted, Huddersfield is 6-1 to win the grand final. That's got to be a misprint.
Must be.
Wakefield are 40-1. Huddersfield are 6-1.
Looks like a misprint, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's surely that's got to be Wakefield at 6-1 and Huddersfield at 40-1, isn't it? It's got.
No, I don't. I think it'll be 16s, I reckon it should have been.
No, it's a misprint. He does say Warrington at 6-1.
Huddersfield 6-1.
Yeah, Wakefield 40.
So Leeds or Huddersfield at 6-1. Which are you going to back? Listeners, please.
This seems quite generous for Huddersfield.
Generous?
If it's not a misprint, can we ask if we can get the opposite?
Yeah. We'll move on.
Andy says we need to look at Rebunion. Send Catalan until he's back to France for the regular season, and then they qualify to play in the Grand Super League Guinness-type league. Oh, I guess the Pro 14 has teams from France. No, it doesn't have France. England. No. Start again. Scotland. Italy. Wales. Ireland and South Africa now. Mm. And I guess that's kind of what we are becoming in a smaller sense, but
there was a report this week that Serbia were looking to come into League One as well.
Yeah?
Red Star Belgrade. Who knows where we'll be going?
They're still moaning about it. People still moan. No one's ever going to be happy, are they? whatever format we'd like.
I think the thing is, if we get the format right, there was disquiet about the eights from the minute it was presented. There were some people that were saying, oh, yeah, I can see that. There were others that going, this is just prolonging the season and telling us what we already know, that the chasm between full-time and part-time is too great. Now, I don't think anybody was ever really convinced that the eights was the answer. Whatever the next structure is, we should put a time on it and say, look, for 10, 15 years, this is how it's going to be. Because we can't keep chopping and changing.
No. Fair news. Right, let's get stuck in there. We are going to keep an active record of predictions, right? That's what's going to happen this week, right, and for the rest of the season. So we are going to find out, legend, if your legendary tipping is as good as you think it is. Okay?
It is. I'm the best.
Okay.
I'm the best.
Very good.
I'm the best pundit with the tipsters. Don't worry about that.
So are we tipping margins or just winners?
Well, what we'll do is we'll get the sponsors' handicaps up and you'll get... We'll do it as follows. You get a point for getting the result right, or you get 3 points if you get the right on the handicap. So if you pick the right... So if you think Saints are going to win by 20 and Saints win by 18, you get a point for saying Saints are going to win. Yeah? So what's the... Get the handicaps
getting
up. Richard's getting them up. We're going to do them. And you're getting some pasty, Schofield. So we'll start off then, Garrett, with the opening game of the season. Well, we think it's the opening game. We're not quite sure what time it kicks off. It is Warrington against Leeds.
Yeah, well, as I've explained in my League Express column, I don't think it'll be the most attractive of games, to be honest with you, from there. And but for Leeds, I'll just pinch it, and I've gone Leeds to win by six.
Leeds by six, yep. Says the legend. Right, we're just getting the details up now. You're not having much joy there, are you?
Warrington are 4-point favourites in that game.
Right, so what are you backing? Warrington minus four or Leeds plus four?
I've got, well, Leeds to win by six.
So you're going Leeds plus four then?
Yeah.
Right. Phil?
Yeah, I'll go Leeds plus four.
Yeah, Leeds plus four, yeah.
So you're all on Leeds. I'm going to go Warrington.
Well, you would do. You would do.
I do think the four's a lot, but no, I'll have Warrington.
Yeah, and no, Huddersfield, and I've gone for the black.
Hold on, I've got to write these down. Will you just please be patient?
Oh, sorry, I'm
please be patient, Gary.
I'm just going to explain to our listeners.
From
the point of view, yeah, to say the home advantage to Hull are looking straight away to put a marker down.
Once eight, Hull minus eight is the...
Hull minus eight, yeah, well, and as I say, yeah, they're looking pretty confident to go to Australia with, and I've gone for Hull to win by 18.
So Hull minus eight, right?
Hull minus eight.
Yeah, I'll go for a whole Leeds double on Thursday.
I'm just a bit worried for Huddersfield over the amount of bodies they seem to have. No Leroy Cudjoe, no Tom Simons, and potentially no Jermaine McGilvery, although I think he'll play. Hull minus
no
eight.
Alex Mellor.
OK.
Wigan are minus 12-point favourites at Salford.
Well, Salford, as I've mentioned, they're in a bit of a mess. I feel sorry for Watson, and if Wigan are going to put a marker down, they're going to have to do it in the first game as well. Everybody, the eyes will be on what sort of style they're going to be playing. So I'm going for Wigan quite comfortable in this fixture, and I'm going Wigan by 24.
What's the handicap?
Minus 12. Yeah, yeah.
Right, go on then.
Yeah, I think I'll have to go Wigan plus 12 as well.
Yeah, minus 12. Go on then. Rich?
12. Yeah, Wigan minus 12 as well.
Minus 12 all across the board then. Yeah, I'll go in with you on that one. You don't think any heroic opening night stand then from Salford, no?
No.
Okay. Cool. Next up, Rich.
Saints are minus 2-point favourites at home to Castleford.
Well, I've explained mine, and I've gone St Helens by 20.
Can we get the alternate handicap?
So, if Castle at home next week, Steve Gill, don't forget my car park and a couple of tickets for me, mate, would you please?
Bizarrely,
I'll see you next week, Steve.
Bizarrely, you can get St Helens minus 20 points, which is not exactly what Scoey's saying, and that's 7-1.
It's 7-1 that to happen. St Helens, Castleford, Phil Kaplan.
Are we playing for the handicap tie? Do we get more points for the handicap tie?
Well, yeah, he could have gone draw.
Yeah,
he could have.
I'll go Saints.
Saints. Okay. Rich?
Yeah, Saints.
You three have all gone exactly.
Well, boring,
yeah.
And it's the most unpredictable Super League ever.
Ever.
Yeah. I'm going Cass. Like, plus two.
No, you would do. The spot's so skinny. We've got a new strap line this year.
That's just remember, Scully. Just remember, Scully. You can't have a car park at Cass. Steve, I'll see you next week, mate. Thank you very much.
Wakefield at Hull Kingston Rovers. Wakefield minus two.
Interesting one, this. And they say Hull Kingston Rovers. Looking to put a marker down, make a statement the first game of the season, but Wakefield for mine. I think they're just too much quality. Maguire would be the only person you'd say maybe get into that Wakefield side if you were looking at like-for-like teams. This would be a convincing win for me, Wakefield. I'm going Wakefield by 20.
Wow. Phil?
Yeah, I'll go with Wakefield. I do think that Hull KR are going to get off to a better start than people think, but I will go Wakefield.
It was interesting, Danny Maguire saying he's playing a different way, or the way Tim Sheens wants him to play rather than the way he played at Leeds, so I'm interested to see what that is. Wakefield minus two.
Right, last one, witness Catalans.
Catalans minus two favourites.
Yeah, Catalans, under McNamara, they'll be looking to get them, so if they are going to be competitive this year, they've got to make sure they start winning on the road. And if Catalans wanted to fix it, if they could have handpicked one, it would have been Widnes away on the road. So Catalans for me. I don't think there'd be too much in it, though, if I'm honest with you. You know, Widnes, as I say, with the young side from there, looking to make an impression. But I'm going the Catalans by eight.
OK. Phil?
I'm going to go Widnes. On their home pitch, with a near-fit squad.
Have you been on the setup, Phil?
Yeah, maple syrup.
Have you been on that syrup, Kaplan? Are you bonkers or what?
Right, go on.
I don't think it has hallucinogenic properties, maple. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble for it importing into the country. Catalans.
I'm going Widnes. So, a split there.
Difference of opinion.
We will have a look at that next week. We'll see.
Why are you going Widnes, Mark Wilson?
I think they'll win at home.
In what way?
I mean, that's all you have to say, because I think they'll win.
Yeah. I think they'll win the game.
They're slightly better.
I think they'll score more points than Catalans.
All right, yeah, what to do with that, they win then.
Well done, yeah, that's why I said it.
We're not paid to be analysts, we just guess.
Gee whiz.
One of three results.
No, we're experts. You've got to get a reason why you think they're going to win. They're experts.
Because they're better.
I think they'll just have a little bit too much. Yeah, I'm going to the game. I'll look forward to watching it and seeing how they get on.
Right, OK. Yeah.
I think the fact that the spine of the Widnes team is fit, we'll see the best they can give.
I think if they're going to have any joy this year, they're going to have to do it early.
And they're going to have to do it early.
Get the points
and
on the board.
Home. I think at home is where they'll pick up the point. The other thing as well is I'm not sure that Castellan will be fully prepared this early in the season. I think McAlorum joined them late. And they'll just get better as the season goes on. But I do think if Widnes have got a chance of winning, it'll be on a wet, artificial pitch
against
the Dragons.
I think you're on there because the Catalans don't want to put themselves under any pressure like they did last year. They'll want to get off to a great start. McNamara's got players who want to play for that jersey now. You're on. On the road, if they could have picked a fix here, it would have been Widnes. There's only one team. And they're winning quite easy, the Catalans.
By eight. See what's happened now. Tony is a Widnes fan. He's written all these down and tweeted them. So whatever happens on Sunday...
Oh, no.
Abuse.
Yeah,
you all hate Widnes new. You all hate the French, whatever that is in French.
Yeah. Well, we've had a go. Tony, what's your prediction? Come on, Tony, give us your prediction.
Sorry,
easy to sit at home, isn't it? Judge everyone else's opinions. You've got one of your own.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Are we doing the championship? Not necessarily by odds and margins, but
no. But we will do the big one. In fact, we'll do the two big ones, Fev Halifax and Lee Toronto.
Where's the Fev Halifax one at?
At Fev.
Well, do you know what? Halifax, we've been here a couple of times, mate, and Halifax have turned them all over, haven't they? You know, can you remember Scott Morrell last year just outmanned them, didn't he? He was just sensational, just totally outmanned them. So they always play well, Halifax, at Featherstone, but you just feel as though, and I say, John Duffy now, he's had a full pre-season with that side, Ridyard in their homes, Hawk joining, a little bit more quality. Featherstone at home, I just can't go against them, to be honest with you. I'm sure they'll keep Morrell quiet. I'm going Featherstone to win by around about 14.
Yeah, I think Featherstone will win. I haven't seen enough of the teams live, particularly over pre-season, to do a margin, but I think Featherstone will win that.
Fev?
Fev narrowly for me. Won't be a lot in it. And what about the big one then? Lee Toronto. Go on, Ledge.
Well, one thing for sure, they won't be lack of commitment and enthusiasm for Toronto. I don't think Paul Rowley will need much to fire his players up. They know themselves what they're in for. It's going to be a great crowd. It's going to be an atmosphere from there, and it's going to be quite an intimidating atmosphere. Lee themselves. One thing for Lee is, certainly with Kieran Cunningham on that coaching staff, are they going to be playing attractive rugby league, or they're going to adopt a little bit more cautious, conservative style like he did at St Helens, which was boring. So it'll be interesting what sort of philosophy Lee come up with, but I tell you what, I don't think there's going to be any room for any faint-heartedness there. I think both teams are going to get ripped in. Discipline's going to be a big point, but Lee, home midding, crowd behind him. I'm going to go for Lee by 8.
I think the best two signings for the championship this year is Josh McCrone, the scrum half at Toronto, because he's come out of a Canberra NRL side where he was a first grader, and Andy Ackers, the hooker, who I thought was really, really good for London last year. So I'm just going to edge Toronto.
What's the card spread? Come back a red card. Lee.
Yeah, I'm by going Lee.
Something. Yeah,
I'm going Lee, and I think Lee might win by quite a few. Double figures, I reckon.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
Big turnover of staff.
I'm not so sure. Where at Lee? Yeah, I'm not sure. They ran Saints, played very well against Saints last week, by all accounts. I think they'll win. I don't think Toronto will have it all their own way. I stand to be proven wrong. I probably will be. But I'm going with Lee.
Tony's gone for witness by 12, by the
good
way.
Man. Good man. Good man. Well, hopefully we'll see you there on Sunday. We have got two live commentaries this week. We are live at the big kickoff.
Yeah, the brand new, exciting Rugby League on Proper Sport launches 6 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, evening, whatever it is. Defending champions, the Leeds Rhinos, kick off their campaign at Warrington. And on Friday from 7, live coverage of Hull KR's return to the top flight as they host Wakefield Trinity. 50 years on since both sides met in the Championship final.
Looking forward to that one. Hull KR, Wakey. Looking forward to the press feud. I wonder how that'll have improved this season. That's the big talking point.
What's that?
Press feud.
Because you saw it out last year.
Well,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Oh, press feud at Hull KR's quality. Wakefield, Chip Boys, okay. Castleford, quality. Leeds, quality. Hull, rubbish. Widnes, average. Salford, average. What else is there? Warwick's good.
Pie at Wigan.
Warwick's quality. Well,
St Helens.
That's ordinary.
Pat Lunch.
Yeah, St Helens, Pat Lunch. Yeah, that's
you
that's
like that because you can take, okay. Basically, if you're there first, you can take 48 chocolate bars out of the bag, can't you?
That's a bit
Let's be fair.
That's
be
a bit harsh.
Is that why you wear the dressing gown when you go out? Just some more pockets.
And
12, more in.
And 12 bags of crisps. Yes. At St Helens.
I'm not joking, though. That's the sad thing.
Philip says we should have a weekly award for the worst ref, name and shame. That's not what we do.
No.
Leave that to other people. We don't do that.
You want spec savers have renewed.
Yeah, the kids look smart as well. The Hummel sponsorship deal, I think, will be good for rugby because I think we're going to get a smart England kit.
He was the referee at Oldham Keighley yesterday. Was James Child? Yeah, and
all
I
right.
thought, yeah, refereed very well. Then I thought to myself, James, why don't you referee like this when you're in Super League? Because all he does, he gives penalty. In Australia, Mal Meninga asked the question, does he know what the rules is? I think he gave 27 penalties when Australia played Lebanon. And you see, he only gave 8. You know, so
not like in the grand final.
He only gave eight.
He had a good game.
Our best referee.
He had a good game.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, he's not consistent enough, is it? He's either good or he's rubbish, you know.
Well, players aren't consistent, sadly. At least what we can say is our video referee system's not as bad as football's. Deary me. David Taylor, he gets comment of the day, because if you want shouting praise, then you give us compliments. And he says, proper sport commentary, Sky Pictures, a good combination. Good.
Thanks, David.
The best, David.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Unrivaled, honest to them, always.
Yeah. Live in 70, what is it?
7.6 billion... people around the world could listen to our commentary.
Yeah.
Probably more like 7.6, but still, it could be 7.6 billion.
There you go.
Pyongyang, Gary Schofield. They put pictures of him up around the town centre.
Yeah, it says wanted underneath it. You looking forward to it, Warrington Leeds?
Very much so, yeah. Looking forward to getting ripped in and, seeing some, entertaining open rugby league. And the one thing for sure from Leeds, The forwards don't have an issue. Outside backs, good again. It's all about their creativity. How's Milo going to settle in Joe Moon? Can he take over the leadership from a point of view with the organisation? And Warrington, yeah, Pricey seems happy with the defence. But again, what's his outbacks going to be? Is it going to be Declan Patton and Brown? Or is it going to be Tyrone Roberts and Brown? Or Declan Patton and Roberts from there? So very, very interesting. But certainly looking forward to that one.
Now that we're actually talking about the action, it's going to happen this week. Brilliant. Yeah, it's the phony war is over. Feels like nearly Christmas Eve, so yeah, excited now.
It's back. It's here. Just about. Well, excited.
It has to be talking about what's going on the field, won't it?
Dan says we should do a dream team. We can't pick, 12 teams in the right order, let alone 13 players. Winner gets a mushy peanut with a legend. That sounds like one of those things where you find him in a bath full of mushy peanut. We don't want that.
In his dressing gown.
On that bombshell.
No.
And this time next week, we'll be talking about Eddie Hearn taking over the sport.
Yeah. And everyone being rubbish, or half the team's been rubbish and half the team's been good.
Yeah. We'll see.
Or whatever else is in the papers.
It's a hope that kills you. Everyone's got a bit of hope, haven't they, now? Who knows what might
be. Best week of the season, because your team can do anything before it's actually played.
Yeah.
There'll be some people very happy, and there'll be some people mourning, it's going to be a rubbish season for us. Come on, let's all enjoy it. The legend's ready. He's ready to get ripped in.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Download the podcast, if you would be so kind. Spread the word. What's the last tackle? I'll be tweeting that out very shortly indeed. Thanks to Richard. Thanks to Phil. Thanks to the legend. Thanks to you, as ever, for getting in touch. We'll see you Thursday at the Halliwell Jones.